about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I got a bad feeling about this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so up over there is not anymore, right?
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
La 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 la.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday play.
Black guy.
And now.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, we're back. Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin Abid Show. What's happening?
You got here astoundingly early today.
I was here about 20 seconds ago.
Yeah. I was very impressed. Wow, you looked relaxed and comfortable, almost bored by the time it was your time to talk.
Well, I mean, you know, it is a little boring to stand around and wait. But
you just hate all the waiting.
Right.
Hey, we're going to take your telephone calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number from anywhere that you are listening to the Kevin Abid Show to get on the air and get a prize. So I know I'm late to the party. I finally yesterday caught up with the movie sensation of 2010, The Human Centipede.
Oh.
And I'm here to tell you, Kevin, you were out when we had the writer-director on, right?
Yes.
Okay. Low-budget movie that it's one of the small studios. It's in very few theaters. But this thing deserves to be – this thing deserves, much like Lisa May, to go wide. I mean, the people who are out there who love the Saw movies and all the people who are going to see The Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. Well, maybe not Nightmare because that's not quite as gory. But if you like the gory movies, this movie is as good as any of them.
Really? I didn't know it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was just shocking.
No, it's way, way better than people are giving it credit for because the trailer is so extreme and it spread like wildfire. And everybody watched it and just saw it for the shock factor. But if you, I've seen it twice now. And
of course,
wow.
If you look at it as the world's darkest comedy.
Is it supposed to be that or do you just have to look at it?
I don't know. Here's my point, though. If you watch it that way, you truly enjoy it. But even that being said, there are definitely genuinely suspenseful and scary moments without the gore factor, just chilling suspense.
Explain to people who may not know what this is in the kindest terms possible.
Yeah.
What it's about, B.
It's a couple of college girls on vacation in Germany that get lost. They go and knock on somebody's door for help, and he turns out to be a mad scientist, basically. He's a surgeon who's crazy. And one of the things that's so interesting about this movie is there, you would think there would be the temptation to give him some sort of redeeming factor or
right.
to have some sort of remorse or to have some sort of a happy ending, but the guy is just crazy. It's not even that he's evil as much as he's just insane. And he has this vision, and we never find out why, that he wants to connect people together, ass to mouth, and turn them into a human centipede. And that's his goal. So he basically tries to capture people, and he'll go out and kill people just to continue his experiments. And these two girls, unfortunately, end up as two-thirds of a human centipede.
Oh.
And the movie is – I mean, you don't see the first surgical incision until 40 minutes in or something like that. And up until that point, it's unbelievably suspenseful. And you know what awaits these girls.
Yeah,
and
I don't know if I want to see that.
I know I don't want to see that.
And here's why the movie saves itself, in my opinion. Even the most extreme gore and the parts where you want to turn your head, there's a subtext underneath. They'll have a character say some really campy, stupid dialogue, or they'll have another in the foreground. They'll have something that's mildly comical. I mean, they always mix and match it so that there's at least something that draws you back to the screen. It's not just overwhelming gore for the sake of gore.
So during the gore, there's actually a CNN scroll that goes across the bottom to take your attention away?
There's a Japanese character, for instance, and he screams things in Japanese. And, there's the dialogue underneath in English. And a lot of times some of the things he says are so extremely dramatic, overly dramatic, and laughable.
Well, he's terrified,
right.
Certainly. But I will tell you that it is. They don't show most of what is horrible about the surgeries and even the attachment on screen. I mean, a lot is left up to the imagination. So it's not like a lot of blood and guts and things like that. For instance, the human centipede, they're wearing diapers, for instance. Okay. So you don't, you can leave up to your imagination what you're not seeing around the clock. But I know we don't have much time here, but I just wanted to bring it up because now that I've seen it, now that we've had the director on, it's just, you know, it's sad that a movie that's so low, you know, so low budget, have very little advertising money, will never reach a wider audience. And we've, you know, we've all had indie movies that we've come across that we've loved that we just wish were bigger hits because, you know, people are going to see the movies that get the most advertising and sometimes they miss out on some real gems.
This one, though, has two strikes against it. One is it's a small movie that doesn't have a lot of advertising. The other is the content. A lot of people hear it and go, no.
It's a real gem, I just heard.
It's a real gem.
It's a gem.
It is a gem.
That's right.
It's not for everybody. Let's face it. If you're in the mood for a Sandra Bullock comedy, no. This is not the movie for you. But if you like it on a little bit on the darker side, then I think Psycho Mike and I both would recommend.
The Human Centipede.
So there you go. That's your tip of the day from the Kevin and Bean Show. And it's apparently it's on demand.
Kevin and Bean Show.
It's apparently on demand in some cable systems, and it's available in theaters, and hopefully it'll be on DVD soon as well. But please check it out.
No. All right, let's take some phone calls, shall we?
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right, get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt, as if those exist. That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Curtis? He's on line 4. He wants to get us going with a little bit of controversy today. Hi, Curtis. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do. Had a celebrity sighting last weekend at the Monster Supercross race in Vegas.
Okay.
Paris Hilton.
All right.
Oh, big deal.
That doesn't sound like her kind of event.
No, not at all. But when you're crammed with 50 people in a suite, they run the flag salute, and she doesn't stand up.
Oh, really?
Oh, well,
yeah. And then gets up right after that and leaves. I was like,
leaves meaning walked away for good, didn't see the event?
Didn't see the event, didn't come back.
Huh.
That's they wanted to get to the after party.
Sure.
Maybe that's it.
I was shocked.
I like the after party that starts before the event.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. She is an ill-mannered slut.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I wanted to flap her, but oh well.
It's pretty accurate.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call.
Let's try, how about John? John's on line 2, and I think he has an immediate crisis he needs some assistance with.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. So I had an absolutely eventful day on Disneyland the other day, and, you know, they were serving beers down at California Adventure and stuff, so I had a wonderful time at Disneyland with this girl, but I had no real time to actually go number 2, so I was, you know, spent the entire night with her, and then, you know, I'm heading home now on the 5, about an hour away from home, and I'm starting to get the fear, and,
Oh, no, not the fear.
The fear.
The fear.
Well, I should, just... you know, find a place to pull over at, you know, 5:30 in the morning, or if I should just, you know, barrel it all the way home and just, you know, like a man.
No. Get off the freeway.
Yeah, you gotta pull over, dude.
That's
you gotta
the
pull
thing
over.
About the fear is you
definitely,
can't.
Definitely a good
you
idea.
Can't just take it like a man. You can't. There's no option.
Yeah.
You don't have that option.
You're gonna start sweating.
In fact, I'm gonna say if you have the option to take it like a man and barrel through all the way home, then you don't have the fear.
It's
you just
fear.
Have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Because
right.
The fear doesn't leave you any choice. The fear is coming out when it's coming out.
The fear.
It's getting to that point pretty quickly, so I think I'll take your guy's advice and I'll just like find a Denny's or something.
Yes.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Thanks, guys.
People at Denny's are going to be very excited.
Or Starbucks.
See, he doesn't have the fear if he's able to pick up the phone and call us and ask advice.
Right. He's already
because
if he had the fear, his car's already a big old mess.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
And he
wouldn't be able to concentrate on anything else except for the fear. All right. How about one more? Do we talk to Frank or do you like Eric? Which one do you want to talk to?
Yeah, Eric. Let's do Frank.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank. What's up?
What it do?
It's Kevin. If you want to say this to me.
Hello.
What's up?
What's happening?
Well, I was working at this job, man. My best friend, he got me this job for like 12 years. I've been working at the same job. One day, I was smoking a cigarette. I came back into the shop and I caught him. Stealing $1 from my wallet.
Stealing a dollar from your wallet. You say he was his best, your best friend?
He makes more money than me, and he's been there longer than me. And plus, I got laid off.
And he was your best friend?
Yeah.
So hello? I got him too.
Hello?
Hello?
My best friend.
Yeah.
What do you need the dollar for?
You're getting something off the freaking lunch truck, that fat effer.
Yeah, well.
Well, I mean, what's your question? Is what do you do? Should you still be friends with this guy?
Yeah, exactly. My boss said I should have
okay.
Right then.
All right, I think it depends on how good a friend you are with the guy. If you're really good friends, you say to him, dude, not cool. Stay out of my stuff.
And then
that's his warning.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't tell him nothing, though, man.
No, wait, hold on a second. If you're a good friend, what you do is you take a dollar back, maybe two. Maybe for interest.
Yeah, there
you go.
That's
what you do.
If he's really a friend and not just some random coworker, I wouldn't care. I mean, like, if I left my wallet right there, Kevin, like I often do on the console, and you wanted a soda, and I happened to be in the bathroom, and you went and took a dollar and got a soda, that's no big deal. I mean, that's just what you do.
But I would tell you.
Maybe after the fact, but
did this guy tell you?
You said you just walked in and caught him.
The only thing he told me is because I caught him. I was right in back of him. He turned around and boom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well,
look, I think we got to go here, but I think you just make your preference known. You say, look, dude, not cool. If you need a dollar, ask me for a dollar. And don't do it again. That's all. But if you guys are good enough friends, it shouldn't be the type of thing that you guys break up over. All right?
And then demand $2 and then headbutt them and everything.
That's fine too.
And then you're good.
Yeah. And then everything.
Yeah, don't forget the headbutt. That's very important. Right. All right. Thank you for the call.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Nope. Stop talking.
I haven't started talking about today's show. We have Mike Henry on the program today. He, of course, is the Cleveland Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Mike.
We have David Spade on the program today.
Yep.
Doing a benefit for Nashville and also his TV show, Rules of Engagement.
That's not a show.
We have Mr. Movie
That's
Phone.
Not a real show. That sounds like one of the ones Lisa made up.
I don't watch that show.
There's a real backlash against 3D movies.
Yeah.
A serious backlash by a lot of different critics. Mr. Movie Phone is one of them, thinks it's ruining movies.
Wow.
I don't care, you know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Even Robert Downey Jr. in Entertainment Weekly said, look, whatever you think about it, it's coming. So I say let's embrace it and make it as good as possible.
That's what she said. The worst excuses for getting pregnant. On the program today, we had a story of a woman who said that they were watching 3D porn.
Uh-huh. And that's I believe her, by the way.
That's how it happened. A white woman with a white guy. And she had a black baby. So there had to be some kind of an explanation. Hers, 3D porn.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's one of the reasons why Mr. Moviefone and others are against the 3D technology.
Sure.
Because it's gotten so powerful now. So that something may actually come off the screen and get up in you.
So we'll take your calls on that. Plus, we have Dr. Drew on the program today, as we do on Thursday. So we'll ask him about that.
Okay.
There's a Brazilian priest who claims that high school kids break out into spontaneous gayness. They're not gay. It's just they're walking down the street one day and they go, wow, I'd really like penis. You know what I mean? Like, that's
Is it the devil?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I mean, really, who else would it be?
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's Top Gun Day, people. I don't know
if
you noticed or not, but it's
Top Gun Day.
Top Gun
Day.
I forgot to oil up.
We were going
to.
Yeah! Oh, my God!
We were going to.
I hope we're playing some volleyball with our shirts off after the show.
We were going to talk to the founder, Greg Shepard, but apparently he's not available, so we're going to talk to his wife. And
what?
And my question is, he has a wife?
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
The guy that founds Top Gun Day? Are you kidding me?
She may be packing as we talk to her.
Could be. Yeah, getting ready to leave. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break, and we'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. Listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Go to our website, krock.com, for details on how to buy your tickets today for the K-Rock Winnie Roast. You can buy them before they go on sale on Saturday at noon. For everybody else, if you go to krock.com, it is 5:52.
Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, if Ralph Garman were here to do the showbiz beat, what would he be talking about?
He'd probably say, Flyers! Flyers!
Excited about the Flyers in the playoffs?
And probably. By the way, congrats to those Montreal Canadiens, too.
Yeah, I saw the riot last night.
Habs knocking the Penguins out of the playoff race, which is awesome.
Bad.
Because the Penguins blow.
Yeah, they blow.
Well, I mean, only in the sense that they're Satan's team. Satan likes them.
Sounds like a Pennsylvania rivalry rear against ugly here. The Pittsburgh sports fans have not had a lot to cheer about in the last couple of years.
No, they haven't.
No.
I'd like to make a personal request that Kevin start backing the Bruins and the Canadians, please. Because he was a Kings fan, and they got bounced. Then he said, oh, I'm now for Pittsburgh, and they got bounced. So
how dare you?
Just want to keep, all
right,
keep
Flyers,
that mojo
Flyers
going. No, thanks. We're all full up here. Thank
Sorry.
You.
Too late.
You. Nope. Door's closed. Here you knocking. Busy having a party in here.
Too late.
We'll turn down the music later.
How long has it been since the Stanley Cup has skated Philadelphia away?
1975.
Dude. Wow. Okay.
Exciting then. Very exciting.
74, 73, 74. Somewhere in there. 74 maybe. But long, 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 long time. They got to the finals. They've been in the finals quite a bit the past 20 years or so. But
is that enough? Or?
Not really.
Not enough.
It's not ideal. So, looking forward to Friday's game.
Where second place, hell yeah.
If they win Friday, they will be only the third team in hockey history to come back from a 3-0 deficit in a series.
That's something.
To win a seven-game series. Last time it happened was 1975. The Islanders did it.
That's something in hockey. It's something in basketball.
Four games in a row.
Baseball. Yeah, any sport. Hard. Yeah. Four in a row.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? This is a great story. Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag, of course, put a lot of effort into making us believe they live a very glamorous lifestyle.
Sure.
But someone got inside the couple's home and sent some pictures to In Touch Weekly magazine that show that they pretty much live in filth.
Wow.
Awesome.
Spencer, by the way, is so paranoid of having bad spirits come into his home that there are crystals all over the house.
Really?
Giant crystals. A friend says, most disturbing is the fact that there are four dogs that they live with.
Uh-oh.
No one's really bothered to house train these dogs.
No. Oh, are you kidding?
So Spencer lives amongst the poop.
That does seem like them, though. Like they would feel like they're above having to deal with their dogs. And
yeah.
I agree. Interesting video that has been unearthed by TMZ. They've got footage of 16-year-old Miley Cyrus giving a lap dance to the 44-year-old producer of her movie, The Last Song. Apparently, the dance took place 7 months ago at the rap party for that movie, but the footage hadn't been discovered until yesterday. Apparently, it's two of them dancing at the party, then Adam Shankman retires to the couch, and Miley follows him and then begins to do her thing.
And I'd like to suggest,
she's grinded.
Although she's underage, so it's illegal and all that, she knows what she's doing.
She does.
I'd like to suggest that.
I didn't know this. Kevin told me this yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Adam Shankman is gay, which makes it a little different for me.
Really?
Yeah.
16-year-old grinding her junk all over a dude?
She's still grinding her junk, but it makes it not exciting for him. So, in a way, it makes it not as bad to me. Yeah.
All right.
But her behavior is still whorish, though, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. 100%.
I mean, she is still backing up on him and grinding up against the front of his pants, though, Lisa.
Yes, I know.
I mean, I understand that
he's just not reacting.
Well,
I think it's more about her activities rather than how he feels about those activities that people are questioning.
Our point is she's 6 months from porn.
That's what we're saying.
No question about it.
Well, she's 17 now, so she's maybe 10 months from porn.
Right.
Ryan Seacrest announced last night that Michael Lynch was leaving American Idol.
Oh, are you kidding? Michael was the only person I tuned in for.
God, yes.
Because he sang those songs that were good.
He sang all of those songs.
Man.
Yes, we're all devastated.
Ouch.
If we'd be watching. But less and less people are, by the way.
Yeah,
ratings
care.
Taking a big dip this year. First time ever. Idol's been losing first against the Winter Olympics and now Dancing with the Stars, so people are wondering what's wrong with American Idol. Read an interesting article online yesterday where someone who kind of broke it down, who said it's pretty much universally accepted now that this has been the worst season ever of American Idol, and people are jumping off board. Yeah, and he tried to broke down what the problems were in the show, and he brought up an interesting point that I hadn't thought of until I read it, and it caught me by surprise. I think it did him by the way he wrote it, that we actually miss Paula.
We miss Paula Abdul,
and you wouldn't think you would. But he said her insanity added something to the show. There was something fun to see what sort of...
We certainly talked about it all the time.
Drunken nonsense she was going to spew. Mm-hmm. He said, but now with Ellen DeGeneres and Cara DeGuardi and all this, everything seems so canned and sort of rehearsed and scripted.
Show.
And there's just no sense of fun anymore on that judge's dais.
You do like the idea that it might go off the rails at any second.
I think it lends a certain energy to that show that it is.
Tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful and it stinks. And it takes everything out of me to smile and be jovial win, I'm being screwed.
Yeah. Okay. Next season's going to be worse, of course. Simon Cowell will be leaving. And Access Hollywood reported yesterday that Elton John, who had long been rumored about being a judge for American Idol, was, in fact, did have a conversation with producers and was offered $33 million to replace Simon Cowell.
Wow.
It would have been for a 3-year contract, 3 seasons of American Idol for $33 million, and Elton said, nah.
He can passed. See a sinking ship.
He passed.
I don't know that it's that as much as he really doesn't need the money.
No, he doesn't.
Or the hassle.
And it's kind of a time commitment for him. He's got to fly all over the country. He's got to sit in Denver and watch some jackhole sing. That's the Elton John doesn't need that.
Yeah, you can see those guys that come in that are just trying to get on TV that are terrible. You can see him sitting there going, no, this isn't going to happen.
Got Grammys. People, hello, Grammy winner. Talk about today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Some people were born today, and those names are on a list.
Yeah.
And that list is right here. Harvey Keitel.
Yes.
One of the greatest actors in the past 30 years in film. Really just outstanding. If you've never seen the movie that kind of made him and Robert De Niro, a movie called Mean Streets, directed by Martin Scorsese, do yourself a favor and put that on your Netflix queue or download it, because it's really remarkable. He's 71 years old today. Stevie Wonder turns 60 years old. Stephen Colbert of The Colbert Report is 46 years old. Darius Rucker. Hootie.
Oh, Hootie.
Hootie! Don't call me Hootie. I'm not Hootie. Yes, you are. You're freaking Hootie.
Once you're Hootie, you're always Hootie.
That's right. No, I was never Hootie. The bad thing is you're Hootie.
Big-time country star now, Ralph. I know that supports your theory that country fans will buy anything.
Anyone can be a star in country music. They
will two number one country singles last year.
That's what I'm saying. He's 44. And Robert Pattinson.
Oh, Rob Pattinson. Oh.
He's 24 years old today.
I hope he swings by later.
He is glistening out in the sun as we speak. So happy birthday, Robert. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
America buys into the Arizona idea. An L.A. City Council bought into the boycott. A 13-1 vote, Craig Smith, the only dissenter and did not comment, to ban most city travel and future contracts with companies in Arizona and review the ones they have. Council member Janice Hahn thinks this will work.
Boycott against the Montgomery bus lines in the early 50s that lasted a year and probably hurt some ordinary workers, but ultimately it overturned Alabama's segregation laws.
But a Pew Research poll shows that 6 out of 10 of us favor asking people to prove their status, though a majority do support a fixed and faster immigration track to legalize those already here. Anybody seen Nancy Salas? The UCLA student went jogging in Glendale's Chevy Chase Canyon, leaving behind her keys and cell phone. Gloomy economic forecast, $4 a gallon gas by Labor Day. Today's forecast, 70 to 80, 60 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
This is the Kevin Devine Show on a Thursday. Mike Henry from the Cleveland Show on the program later today. Such a funny show. Also, actor David Spade doing something good for charity today that we're going to ask for your help. And a woman who claims she got pregnant by watching a 3D movie. That's taking technology too far, right?
Well, it's 3D porn.
Right.
Right.
So you can see how that would make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
First, though, do you have a little danger zone? Can you hit me with a little Top Gun right now?
We're
because
looking
today,
for it.
Okay, today is a holiday. If you follow along with the Kevin Devine Show for Talk Like a Pirate Day, today is the next big sensation. It is Top Gun Day, and we have the co-founder of the holiday on the phone with us right now. She is Julia Shepherd, and she joins us now on the Kevin Devine Show. Julia, thank you for making time for us today. How are you?
Great. Thank you for making time for us.
You bet.
Now, always.
You and your husband who came up with Top Gun Day, is that right?
Absolutely. Definitely his thing. But, you know, I was 8 years old when it came out, but I'm definitely a lover of the movie.
How long ago? How many years have we been celebrating Top Gun Day?
Well, this is our second year. That
Oh, it's only second. Day. Wow, I feel like I celebrated when I was a little kid. I had no idea it was so recent.
Oh, well, the movie came out in 1986. The Top Gun Day is, this is just the second year of Top Gun Day.
Oh, okay.
How about that? Well, we were on it on year one then. What is it about Top Gun that makes it warrant its own holiday?
Oh, my goodness. You know, that just playing with the boys, volleyball scene, the jets. I mean, we all watched this movie, and all of us wanted to be fighter pilots and get in there with, especially people that look like Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer.
I have Quentin Tarantino describing why this movie is so great.
Okay.
And I'd like to just take a second, so maybe this will, you know, bring it into focus.
You know what one of the greatest scripts ever written in the history of Hollywood is?
What?
Top Gun. It is a story about a man's struggle with his own homosexuality. You've got Maverick, all right? He's on the edge, man, all right? And you've got Iceman and all his crew.
Right.
They're gay. They represent the gay man,
right.
All right? And they're saying, go the gay way, go the gay way. He could go both ways.
But not Kelly McGillis, right?
Kelly McGillis, she's heterosexuality. She's saying, no, go the normal way. Right. And they're saying, no, go the gay way, be the gay.
So you can see how that explanation makes it make a lot of sense, right?
Is that part of it, Julie? Is it the gay subtext of the movie that makes you guys love it so much?
Yeah. I don't know that really we were clued into that when we first saw the movie. Now, absolutely. It's just a hilarious movie. You know, everybody loves to hate it.
It is the gayest. It is the gayest movie that is considered not gay, right? I mean,
yeah. Absolutely.
And then you got this song. The fighter pilots, and they're going right into the danger zone, Bean. You can avoid the danger zone. They can go around it, but not these guys. They go right through the danger zone.
And that does sound like a euphemism for a bunghole, I will tell you that. What do people do to celebrate Top Gun Day? How can we participate?
Update your profile picture with a Top Gun avatar. Oh. Use quotes throughout the day. Wear your aviator sunglasses. Just have so much fun. You know, top it off with a glass of hemlock at the end of the day. You know, of course, not the Socrates hemlock. But,
no, don't be crazy.
No.
What is your favorite quote from Top Gun, Julia?
Oh, goodness. I definitely have to say bugging out. They're bugging out. Goodness.
Bugging out.
It has to also be the part where you were talking about the naked volleyball or whatever that was.
Oh,
I mean, that was really...
Remember, boys, no points for second place.
How about that one? No points
That's
for second place.
Well, have you guys merchandised it yet? Or is that are you saving that for year number three, Top Gun t-shirts and whatnot?
Well, if you go to the site, you can buy your stickers, t-shirts, things like that through the site. We have different vendors that you can access through it. So definitely, you can do that. But it's one of those things that was set up just for fun. And there's over 400,000 people who've gotten call signs. There's 4,000 Facebook fans. I mean, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's real fun.
Volleyball with the boys, and we're doing a song that's called Playing with the Boys. Woo!
I think there is a gay porn already called Playing with the Boys, by the way. I think that actually happened. All right, Julia Shepherd, co-founder of Top Gun Day, which is today celebrated all over the world. Last question for you, my dear. That website where people can get more information.
Top Gun.
They're going right into the danger zone.
I don't know why.
The danger zone is in front of them,
right.
And they're saying, "I don't care.
I don't care.
The danger zone doesn't scare me. I'm going right through
it." I'm sorry, Julie. I don't know why he did that. One more time for the website address, please.
I'm sorry, that was just a joke.
Come on, Slider. Why are you a hater?
I'm sorry, that was just a joke. Go ahead. That's it.
You are fired.
No, that's it. It's three. It's comedy comes in threes. All right, go ahead.
Or fours, apparently.
One more time. What?
I'll help you out here, Julie. It's topgungame.com. Thank you for joining us. Happy Top Gun Day to you.
Thank you.
Bye. Muse, also System of a Down, and The Offspring coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about the rock and roll band known as Kiss for just a moment. Remember the movie Role Models?
40s clowns.
Kiss? You don't know who Kiss is?
No, never heard of them. They look like idiots to me.
No, dude, these are four of the smartest guys who ever lived. They're these Jewish guys that grew up in New York, and they put on guitars and makeup to get girls, and all their songs are about f***ing.
I'm listening.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's what all their songs are about.
Gene Simmons is claiming the Kiss are more famous than Mickey Mouse. Gene has never been one to downplay their role in society.
True.
He says
he's worked really hard to make that band popular, but he's not the most modest guy in the world. You're right about that.
He says it's the most famous pop culture image in history. By some experts, he says, and by experts, of course, he means himself, it's believed to be the most recognizable pop culture image on Earth, even above Mickey Mouse. And then he goes on, and we thought we would have Gene on and just maybe run a few of these quotes by him.
Okay.
To get his impression on what's going on. Hi, Gene.
You know, we are not just friends. We are colleagues, and I admire both of you very much, Kevin and Bean. Hello. You're very powerful and handsome men. But first things first, Lisa May. How are you?
I'm fine, Gene.
It's been quite a long time since I've been in the studio to visit you. I've been mostly on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss you. You're the perfect blend of brains and beauty.
Okay.
You're the complete woman, and I miss you very, very much.
That's so nice of you, Gene.
Very complimentary.
I, in particular, miss your beautiful brown eyes. Speaking of brown eyes.
Okay. All right. Good.
Exactly now, where that
you,
was
going to
go.
You do know that you're not allowed in the studio anymore. That's why you're on the phone so much. We actually have an armed guard out for the...
So, Gene, you're going on in this article. You say, you know, there's no U2 comic book. There's no Mick Jagger action figure. We have our own Visa card. You can't go to Walmart and get M&Ms without our faces on them. We have a Dr. Pepper soft drink campaign right now. It's unbelievable how successful we are.
It's truly unbelievable. And everybody, you know, likes to point fingers at our artistic credibility because of the way the band Kiss has merchandised themselves. But it'd be ignorant to ignore how quickly the Kiss music and the Kiss merchandise spread. And speaking of things that spread quickly, Lisa May.
Okay. All right, Gene, if you could just keep it to the topic at hand, please. We really appreciate it. Look, what I saw your quote that you're more famous than Mickey Mouse, the most famous pop culture image in history. What about Coca-Cola? I would think that Coca-Cola would be recognized in more countries around the world than the band Kiss in makeup.
I'm sorry. To be honest, I didn't hear your question. I'm a little bit distracted right now. This oil spill, this BP oil spill.
What?
Yeah.
It's really getting to me.
I didn't realize you were so concerned about the environment, Gene.
True. I really, really hope that this second time around, this second attempt to trap the oil in the water down there really, really works, because that salt water down in the Gulf Coast is very, very precious. Lisa May, speaking of precious, salty liquids.
that was the longest slide for an out ever.
It was. It was a huge setup, but Omar's laughing his ass off.
Well, all right. Omar's with you.
Who's Omar? Is he in the band?
He's my personal assistant.
How about that?
I see. So you're standing by it then. You're going to continue. You're 60 years old now, Gene. Is there going to ever come a time where you're just going to take the makeup off and just stay home and retire, or are you going to be out there rocking until you die?
I've thought about that, and, you know, at some point, we are, both Paul and I, the two remaining original members of the band, we're getting a little bit old to be rock gods. That's why I'm working on my book right now.
You're writing a book?
That's right, I'm writing a book. It's going to be kind of an instruction manual to young musicians on how to make it in the industry.
That'd be great.
Kind of how to market yourself so that you take off?
You've got it, and it's essentially going to be a very... very honest book.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very open from the standpoint of everything that we've gone through as young artists.
Right.
And I really just want to pull back the curtain on what it's like to be a rock star.
Got where you're going.
What?
I got it. No, we got it.
Gotta go.
Pull back the curtain. We got it.
And
we
can, yes.
We can fill it.
All right, finish it for me.
We can fill out our own jokes here.
Go ahead. If you're so smart.
We can fill out our
jokes. All right, you make everybody laugh then. Go ahead.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Dr. Drew, by the way, joins us next hour for his weekly Thursday visit. Hey, we should run that woman who says she got pregnant by watching the 3D porno by him. See if that's possible.
Oh.
So I'm no medical doctor, so I don't know. I think maybe it could be.
I'm just guessing here, but I'm going to guess no.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
I don't know.
Let's leave it up to the doctor. Come on.
Right. I don't know. You're right.
We got a phone number here. It's a voicemail here at the Kevin and Bean Show that you can leave a message for us 24 hours a day. We always appreciate when you take the time to call. You know, sometimes you're going about your day and you'll think of something that you want to ask us, or something that you want to tell us, or something you want to, you know, share with us. You got a joke, a comment, a comedy. Give us a call, 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day, you leave messages, and then from time to time, we play them back on the radio.
We don't necessarily agree with everything that's said, and I can guarantee you right now that we do not agree with this one.
Take Duhamid, take Dewan, take Petros, suck a list, put them all in the same church, and throw a torch through the stained glass window. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, why you gotta hate on our family? Come on.
How dare he?
Do you guys know I don't like Tiger Woods? He's a Nickelback fan. Hey, Callie.
Kevin, I don't remember if you were on vacation or not, when it turned out that Tiger, his first night out after everything that went down, you know, Thanksgiving weekend with his wife and all that seclusion and the sex rehab and everything else, the first public night he went out was to a Nickelback concert and after party. And I got to tell you, I think that did more to damage his image than anything that went on with all the whores.
He really isn't black.
He's not black at all. He's barely American. Come on, Tiger. You can do better.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Psycho Mike. I figured you guys love reggaeton, so I figured you guys would like this song with the horn.
Wow, I didn't even know Omar was making records.
Thank you for that. That's very nice.
Dude, did you guys hear me today? When you guys were talking to Robert Pattinson, you guys mentioned Jacob's name. She was getting turned on. She was like, ooh, Team Jacob, dude. Oh, yeah, it was funny.
All right, now, little boy, little girl?
Little boy.
I thought it was a girl.
I thought it was a girl, too.
Maybe a 22, 23-year-old girl with a little boy voice.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I'm saying 11-year-old.
It's possible.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you appeal to all.
I've been mocked by an 11-year-old.
Yeah. You know, this movie Marmaduke is coming. It's on the way, Marmaduke. Mm. And it's going to be good.
Marmaduke, no!
Oops.
No, it's because my stepbro Carlos and I are being shipped air freight.
Hey, let me out of here. I'm not an animal. Oh, yeah, I am.
I just saw a billboard for Marmaduke with Owen Wilson and George Lopez, and I could really use some cartoon hate from Omar right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll be very tough to get him to generate hate for Marmaduke.
No.
Sometimes that does help when you have cartoon hate.
I think there's a side business for Omar from people who are really angry or frustrated about something and don't possess the skills to scream about it. They hire Omar to go on like a 5-minute diatribe on any topic that you're pissed off about, and then you feel like it's out there in the universe. You've gotten your message out.
Although not everyone is a fan.
Omar, you. I've been saying this all my whole life, and I'll be saying it to the day I die. You. You could also shove that TV up your ass.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
So that guy got that off his chest, and then a few minutes later he thought, you know what? I don't think I finished the job.
Once again, you, Omar. Ralph Garman, next time you see Omar, shove your foot so far up his ass you will not be able to see.
Wow, that's a long way.
That is far.
Yeah. Your foot is really... That, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's past your ankle, right?
Way.
Yeah.
It's past your thigh, I think. Psycho Mike is now the host of Loveline and getting rave reviews.
Psycho Mike, nobody wants to hear about your on Loveline. Why are you on Loveline? You. I hate you.
That's a great question. Why is Mike on Loveline? Are we out? Are there no more talented people in the country now? Is the hiring process now... Hey, we got an opening on Loveline. Let's look around. If I see somebody in the room that can do it, I'll give it to them.
The next person I see gets the job.
Yeah, I guess so.
One of those things.
Just shut up. No one cares. Honestly, just shut up. Just shut up. Shut up. No one cares.
Okay, just a general shut up.
That could be about a lot of things.
I think it's about everything.
Yeah, I mean, really, that could be it. Here's another movie that's coming out that's going to be the death of us all.
Please tell me I'm not the only one who has seen the Sex and the City 2 trailer and wanted to punch my wife in the head.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you.
Come on now.
They're not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, my God.
Right.
You people don't know.
Oh, we know.
Can't wait.
Trust me when we say we know.
Can't wait.
My wife went online and bought, I think, 19 tickets.
Well, good for her.
And all of her friends are going to go, wow,
yes,
what a
best
nightmare.
Day ever.
What a good day to go anywhere else. That's all I'm saying.
You're not wanted.
Dewan did a singles video, you know, kind of like a dating video where they kind of asked him some questions and he answered them. And I thought he was magical. I mean, I wanted to date him. But apparently this girl is on the same page.
He takes the pass. He shoots. He scores. I'm a Scorpio, I'm tight, and I'm straight.
What's your name?
Dewan Amir Johnson.
Can you say my name is?
My name is Dewan Amir Johnson, and I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I'm single. I'm 27 years old.
Okay, can you do that exact same thing, but start from the beginning?
Hello, ladies. I'm Dewan Amir Johnson from Los Angeles, California. Yeah. I'm 27 years old, and I'm single. My sign is Scorpio.
What do you look for in a woman, and why?
Look for some white woman out in the San Pedro area, because they look like California ladies, and I'm interested.
What are some of the things that you absolutely wouldn't tolerate in a woman?
Like, I don't like ladies like start smoking and drinking.
What are some of the things you have to offer a potential girlfriend?
Some gifts.
Right.
Can you give us some examples?
Like, since I don't have my own cards, she can, like, start taking me as a chauffeur.
That's the gift you're going to give her? All right, and can you say one last thing for us into the camera?
Yes.
Airtight? Go ahead.
I'm tight, and I'm straight.
So I talked to Dewan yesterday. I said, hey, now that your profile video's up there, let's hit San Pedro, where you like those ladies, and let's go meet some.
Good.
And he goes, they gonna have to come to me.
What?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. By the way, this little weenie roast concert that you've been hearing about, this show that we've got coming up with the Stone Temple Pilots and with the Green Day and with the Silver Sun Pickups and with all those other amazing
Green
bands,
Day?
Sublime with Rome.
Green Day's been at it? That's awesome. I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either. It is the almost Christmas concert, though. I did hear that.
Yeah.
Devo, Paramore, Deftones, Spoon, Chevelle, Cage the Elephant, Sublime with Rome, STP, Hole, Silver Sun Pickup, so much more. This is new, and that's why I want to mention it. If you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show anywhere across the country and you want to buy tickets to the show, you just got to find your way out to Irvine, California for the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater on June 5th, and you can also see this show. We have it opened it up to Kevin and Bean listeners all across the country, and I wanted to make sure that word got out there because tickets go on sale to the public this Saturday at noon. If you're a Street Team member, and you can get details through our website, you can buy them today. So that's a hint for you.
Also, just added Ku Klux Klan. Very excited about
they're
them.
They're awesome.
I like that.
Are they going to wear the makeup again?
I believe so.
Oh, it's great. Yeah,
finally,
I haven't seen them
after
since
all these years.
Gave that up.
6:51, and it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I thought I'd put everyone in an excellent mood today and read you a list of salaries of kids who are on TV.
Oh, boy.
These are kids who can't drive but make enough to buy a Porsche.
Excellent.
And you are probably going to your job not being as well paid. And you're a grown-up.
Yeah.
And you have skills.
Yeah.
So let me give you a list of the top eight highest paid kid TV actors today, okay? This is fascinating. Number eight is Atticus Schaefer. He's the little special needs looking kid from The Middle. Remember The Middle, that Patricia Heaton show?
Yeah.
And the dude who played the janitor on Scrubs?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I haven't seen it, but yeah.
That kid's making $12,000 an episode.
Oh, my God.
That's $12,000 a week.
Wow.
$12,000 a week. He's 11.
Wow.
He's 11 and he's making $12,000 a week. I don't know if I can overstate this enough.
But you have to remember, in 5 years, he's going to be a Dr. Drew Celebrity Rehab.
That's true. So he's
going to need that money.
You got that going for you.
Victoria Justice, 17 years old. She's on a show called Victorious. Anyone?
Nope.
Also $12,000 a week.
Hmm.
Demi Lovato.
That's Disney.
Sunny with a Chance over there on the Disney Channel. She's making $12,000 a week. Our little buddy, Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family, Manny.
I hope he gets all money. I love him.
He's 11 years old. And yes, Kevin, he makes all money.
All right.
That's his official
he
salary.
Gets all of it.
They give him a check for all money, signed ABC. No, he makes $15,000 an episode. $15,000 a week. He's 11.
All right.
He takes home $15,000 per week of employment.
Right.
And you know what? Well, they're not working 10-hour days, these kids. They go on a set for an hour, and then they go and they play in the park, and then they learn a book in the dressing room, and then they write a report on Moby Dick.
Isn't it interesting, by the way, Ralph, just as a brief...
it is interesting.
Just as a brief aside, that there are very few businesses in this country that are allowed to hire 11-year-olds to work for them, regardless of the salary. But for some reason, showbiz, we go, yeah, go ahead, have a job at 3 or 5 or 8. Isn't that interesting?
Now, Miley Cyrus, 17 years old, she's worth $1 billion, but she's not making that from her series.
She's not.
She only makes $15,000 per episode for Hannah Montana.
Really?
That's shocking.
I would have thought it would be more.
How about that?
She's been doing it for a long time, it seems like.
But it is cable.
Yeah.
So, It's not as much money as network television. And
she makes most of her money pole dancing.
Right, exactly. And so. And giving lap dances right. to gay producers. but she makes a ton of money in the music and the concert tours and stuff. So
oh,
that's
she makes...
She's
all right.
I'm sure
she'll
be okay. Merchandising, all that stuff.
Yeah. Kiki Palmer from True Jackson. How do these shows exist? And I've never heard of any of them, practically.
A lot of them are Nickelodeon type, Disney type.
Kiki Palmer is making $20,000 an episode.
No, he deserves it. Kiki really does good work.
Dylan and Cole Sprouse, the twins from The Suite Life. I'm familiar with this show.
Sure.
They're both 17. They make $20,000 each per episode.
All right. Okay.
Number third on the list is Selena Gomez. Yeah. She is 17 years old from the Wizards of Waverly Place, making 25G per ep.
Let her have it.
G per ep?
Per ep. Miranda Cosgrove from iCarly, 16 years old. $180,000 an episode.
Wow!
Ruff, did you know that show sometimes gets 10 million viewers?
Did you know she's making $180,000 per episode?
What was the last one that you just mentioned, the one before?
Selena Gomez, 25K. Number two in the list, jumps up to 180, Miranda Cosgrove.
Wow, that's a jump.
God. Yeah. I don't know anything about this iCarly, but apparently...
iCarly rips.
Yeah, it is a good show.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good show, yeah.
What?
Oh,
I know.
Someone get the defibrillator. I get Kevin.
Wait a minute, I have kids.
Yeah.
So I take that out.
Yeah. Mike? What, Mike?
I watch it with my nieces and nephews, and I'm forced to watch a lot of
shows. All right. That just leaves.
Out of all those shows, that is the most entertaining. By
all right.
Gay Farmer?
And yes.
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Clowntown?
Mm-hmm.
I like to stay current.
What are your circumstances regarding you nestling down with a cup of Nestle Quick, tucking in, watching, getting some Nella wafers, watching iCarly?
You got to be 21, unfortunately.
No, it's just when something is immensely popular like that, I have to know what it is and why. So
you're
that's
also
why
a blood pirate.
No, it's not that at all. I like to check it out. Just
are you a pedophile?
Nope, not even a little bit.
Are you a pedophile?
No, I'm not actually.
Are you a pedophile?
Wow. She's good though. She's a good actress.
I got a little winded.
Yeah, I know. That was a shock.
That was a little rough.
I wish you guys could have seen Ralph's face when all three of us...
Everybody chimed. Oh, it's a great show.
That's a good show.
Oh, I love iCarly. Oh, it's delicious. Oh, iCarly's the best.
Fruit roll-ups. She does have an album out now that just came out last week. I have resisted the urge to buy that.
Oh,
I
have not please, bought the, like you don't
have
that.
Not bought the Cosgrove album.
No. I just want to know something. Exactly how queer are you?
Nope, not even a little bit.
All right, meanwhile, back to the list.
Please.
Yes.
Number one money-making kid on television. Any guesses? Number one money-making child on television?
Oh, I would have thought it would be Hannah Montana. So.
No. Isn't that surprising how low she was on the list?
So I don't know.
I'm shocked by that, but I got to think it's got to be the 2.5 Men kid,
it is
it?
Indeed. Angus T. Jones.
What a great name. That's his real name?
That's his name. I never knew. Angus T. Jones.
Love it.
Who is the half... Man on 2.5 Men makes $250,000 per episode.
Wait a sec, what?
Wow.
$250,000 per episode. That's a week's worth of sitcom work right there.
I already guessed that because A, it's an actual network, CBS, and B, the show's been on for so long that I just assumed they would just keep up in his pay like they have for, you know, for the other two.
Yeah, well, they did.
That's crazy dough.
It does. Jeez.
That's crazy.
I wonder he's huge.
Yeah.
How much candy you can buy for $250,000? You know how many zigzag bars and Abba Zabbas? Reese's peanut butter cups?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So there's your list of the highest paid TV.
So you're saying they get $250,000 one week, and then...
The next week?
Let's say they burn through all of that.
Brand new check gets written.
$250,000.
Yepers.
All right.
Mick Jagger's going to be on Larry King Live next week.
Oh.
Is that going to be the greatest interview ever?
I can't
I'm
wait.
Looking forward to it.
I think I don't think I can wait. I think I have to watch it now, even though it doesn't exist yet. Apparently, they are reissuing the band's classic 1972 double album "Exile on Main Street," and there's a documentary that goes along with it. So Mick is doing a lot of press, but for the first time, he will be sitting down with Larry on Tuesday, and I guarantee you, we'll bring you clips.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Because Larry's first question is going to be, "So, how's Ringo?" I can't wait for that.
Who are you? What have you done?
What's wrong with your lips? Vampire Weekend, Muse, and The Dead Weather have all contributed songs to the soundtrack of Twilight Eclipse.
Ralph, do you know if you have to watch that through a little hole in a box? Or
son of a bitch.
How does that?
Son of a bitch.
Bean made that joke last hour, and we're still reeling.
Or yesterday.
Or yesterday.
You know.
Seems like last hour.
Time bends in on itself sometimes. All three songs do not appear on any album by those artists, so you can only hear them on the soundtrack. The Vampire Weekend track is called Jonathan Lowe. Muses is called Neutron Star Collision. Love is Forever. All right.
That's the whole title.
It is.
All right.
And then Dead Weather is Rolling In on a Burning Tire. You can check that out June 8th when the soundtrack is released. The movie won't be out to the 30th, but all you twitards can get your CDs out and go watch some iCarly. Damn it. I like to stay current.
I like to stay current.
With what the little girls like. So when I lure them into my panel van, I know what to say.
It's not like that.
Girls, I've got iCarly back here.
But being there are a lot of people who like to stay current and are obsessed with the news like you are, but they don't take it all the way down into the...
I love to stay current. I've never seen iCarly.
Right, into the, like, young teen thing. That's
you should
freaky.
Check it out.
By the way, part of it is also that the Disney Channel, I shouldn't even say this because you guys are going to make fun of me, the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon are the default channels that we leave our TV on when we go out and leave the dogs alone. So a lot of times the channel, it's on that channel. Ralph, I'm just saying.
You leave the Disney Channel Nickelodeon on for your dogs?
Right.
Because they prefer the younger programming?
You don't want to put something on that's going to be scary for them. You know what I mean? You want something that's going to be light and fluffy and relaxing and isn't going to upset them while you're out.
Do you think that they
They're not watching television!
Do you think they sit on the couch with a pipe and watch TV? I mean, really, is that what you think happens?
Well, I know for
a fact... You leave it on and they wander the house looking for someplace to poop. That's
hey,
it.
Chin-ho, what do you want to watch? Oh, I don't know, yum yum. I think, oh, you know what? I don't plan it's a little too disturbing for me. Anything softer? F you and your dogs.
Let's go to Disney. That's safe, yes?
You know, that's exactly what it is. You don't want to put something on that's going to have a bunch of guys getting stabbed or running or shooting guns or anything like that. So it's safe.
Those are the only options. It's either Disney or the All Gun Run Stab Channel.
Stop it.
How about CNN or Headline News?
How about the radio?
Or music?
How about understanding that your dogs don't watch TV and turning it off?
Look, I'm just trying to explain why maybe I've seen more Disney than you might have expected.
Stop
that's part
it.
Of... Part of the reason is some, and then sometimes
when you come home and the dogs are watching iCarly, you can't change the channel. You're right. You gotta let them watch them finish their program.
You try to change it and they start barking, right? No. But take it back. We want to find out how it ends.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what's happening.
Holy crap.
No!
Back
no!
To you, I am just exhausted. Today's celebrity birthdays. Harvey Keitel is 71 years old today. Singer Stevie Wonder is 60. Stephen Colbert is 46 years old. Hey, he's on the Comedy Channel. Why don't you put that on? Comedy Central for the dogs.
That's such a great channel.
Sit around and laugh. I have to unbuckle my collar. I'm laughing so hard. Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish is 44. And Robert Pattinson from... Eclipse.
You sit there with a beer watching TV. Someone give me a cold one.
Oh, this Sweet Life, I tell you, it's a crack up, isn't it? Hey, pass the milk bones. Effing Bean. Rob Pattinson is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Look, it's a battle that's been going on for thousands of years. Religion versus sexuality. Everybody has their own interpretation of what the intention is of God, but every once in a while somebody will speak out and it'll be controversial and be the comment heard around the world, and that's what we've got for you right now.
Well, because the Catholic Church is embroiled in it like really no other church.
Yes,
I mean,
true.
I don't know any other churches that have the kind of scandal that they have, but there is a Brazilian archbishop that said adolescents are, quote... And this is a direct quote from him, spontaneously homosexual. So they aren't, you know, their whole lives, and then all of a sudden, one second, they are, and then they're not again.
How does that happen?
He didn't explain. He says they're in need of guidance, though. He also says society at large is pedophile, and that's why some of the priests become pedophiles, because that's the problem with society at large.
Well, in his defense, there are... far more pedophiles outside the Catholic Church than there are inside the Catholic Church. So he is right about that.
Maybe. I mean,
that if you're human beings, then there's a possibility you might, have some sexual deviance.
Brings up denounced the abuse within the church, but he said internal punishment of priests guilty of abuse was sufficient and police should not be involved.
Well, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
Let's. We asked producer Alex to line up the Brazilian Archbishop, and I believe we have him on the phone now. Is this Mr. Datis? Is this Mr. Datis Grings?
It's Datis. Datis Grings. Yes. Hello.
Datis Grings. Thank you so much for joining us, Archbishop.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you on. Your comments have become quite controversial about the spontaneous homosexuality of teenagers.
Yes, God bless you, but it is the truth. I can only speak the truth and hope that everyone will appreciate it. It's the truth.
It's sort of odd, though, that a lot of people have, they've commented on this particular topic, but you're the only one who has come up with the theory of spontaneous homosexuality.
No, it is true. Let's face it. When everyone is adolescent, there is a certain amount of exploration that is involved. Uh-huh. I know myself, when I was a young man in the gym class, and we'd go for showers together. Oh, boy!
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
But okay. you just burst into spontaneous gayness. It just happens all the time. Oh, look, there's a young man now. Watch him carefully and... Yes! He just burst into gay.
Wow, that happened right in front of our ears.
Right in front of your ears. Yeah. It happened, yes.
Now, isn't that just adolescents kind of finding their way in their own sexuality? And you can't make somebody gay.
Oh, you can if you give them enough wine.
I'm sorry?
I mean, no. No, you can't. You're right. And this is what I'm saying. They must be given proper guidance so that this behavior does not stick.
So it doesn't stick. Okay, yes. So it's just one of those things that just, it hits them out of the blue. They don't have any idea what's going on.
Yes.
There's another one.
Like
another
a lightning bolt. A young 14-year-old baby walking down the street, and he will just spontaneously burst into gay.
And then do you try to get them immediately and take them into the church and counsel them?
I try to immediately get them into the church, yes. Counseling, whether that happens or not, is really not important. Most important is they become an altar boy. That's what I care about.
I see. Is it possible, Archbishop, that the music you are forcing your young man around you to listen to is turning them gay? Have you thought about that?
This is Brazilian carnival music.
Is that what it is?
Festive music.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Okay.
And I'll tell you, this music goes great with a spangled G-string, something with sequins on it.
Really?
Yes, with a floss up the back.
Is that what you wear?
Yes, under my robes when I am performing a mass. Right. I have lots of sequins underneath, and I have tassels on my nipples.
I am very surprised by that.
Only because it's just comfortable for me, that's all. Oh, my goodness.
Well, what happened?
Oh, there's another young man who needs some guidance.
Oh, man.
I'm going to guide him right to my pants.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Mr. Movie Phone is going to be joining us next hour talking about how 3D movies are the death of cinema. Meanwhile, by the way, James Cameron, director of Avatar, says that 3D is going to be the standard within a few years. So what is going to end up happening? I will tell you one thing I do know. If 3D movies start making women pregnant, then I'm going to have to say no. Let's not make 3D movies anymore because this is pretty scary stuff.
A white woman who had a black baby claims that she fell pregnant while watching a porn movie in 3D.
Yay!
The child's father, who is white and serving in the military in Iraq, apparently buys it. Because he really, really wants to.
Now, I find it very difficult to believe that this is a true story. Everything, honestly, I don't know how anyone could come up with that as an excuse, and I certainly don't know how anyone could buy it. But let's just assume for the sake of this discussion that the woman really tried to pull that one over on her husband. Good honor. Nice effort. Seriously, originality.
Really?
Points.
Well, originality, yeah.
You
got
to do something, right?
Stones.
You got to do something.
For trying it. By the way, I didn't know there was 3D porn. I'm sure there is, but I wasn't aware of that.
I wasn't either.
She says a month after watching the movie.
How long?
A month.
A month.
Thank you.
After she started watching the movie, I started feeling dizzy and the results were positive, she said.
Wow.
So the dude is on some kind of a satellite phone in Iraq and he's taking fire. And she's like, yeah, I was watching a 3D porn movie and I said, I'm pregnant.
Look, here's my whole thing. People get very creative when they are caught cheating. Remember the story that we had last year about the guy who had all sorts of pictures of his penis or something on his iPhone and he said, I didn't put them there. I didn't send those to anybody. It must have been a glitch with Apple. Remember? And
right,
his wife
sure.
went to Apple and said, is there any possibility that something like this could have happened, that a photo could have been sent out in somebody's email without the – and the guy was just lying. The guy was just trying to cover his own tracks because he had been cheating. That's how these stories happen, is you've got to come up with some creative way that it's not your fault, but that you were caught cheating or that you got pregnant somehow and you weren't having sex with another dude.
When people are just, like, they just don't for a second waver, it really, you start to think,
well,
there's just this little sliver of doubt.
That's the Kevin and Bean rule, is that you have to lie
total conviction.
Yes. Yeah. So she said, listen, I don't understand it either, but it was 3D porn and I ended up pregnant. And then his quote is, the films in 3D are very real. With today's technology, anything is possible. So then she says, she admits that her marriage could be in trouble. Even though my husband believed in me, my marriage could be at risk, but he knows I'm faithful.
Yeah. I think my favorite part of the story, and maybe this is another reason why I suspect it can't even be true, is that the kid allegedly looks just like the black actor in the porn movie. that's a nice touch. But you know what? Look, people, as I said, people will make up stuff to get out of, you know, being caught on cheating. And the whole pregnancy thing, we had a story last year of a real story about a girl who got pregnant through oral sex. Remember that?
Yeah.
A real story.
Yeah, but it turned out to not be true, Bean. Remember? We had Dr. Mo on and he said, not possible.
Yeah.
She made up a story about getting stabbed. And remember that whole thing?
Yep.
That was her.
People do get creative when they come up. And I'm curious if any Kevin and Bean listeners have ever had to figure out a way that they could have gotten pregnant without cheating. I wonder if people have gotten creative like that are listening to us right now.
You have to
Or
imagine.
People have heard those stories.
You have to imagine, once you're pregnant, you go, wow, I got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And so they try to come up with something. 3D porn? I'm not sure anyone's going to buy that because that's dumb. But who knows what people try when they're backed into a corner. I mean, if you're really, really, really in trouble and you have to come up with something, maybe you're not the most creative person or whatever, or you're not very smart realizing that you can't really get pregnant from a 3D porn. But especially if you're one of the people involved, you were told something of your girlfriend or wife and how they got pregnant.
Right.
Or you made something up and you said, this is how I got pregnant. This is, you know, I sat down on a toilet seat, that whole thing.
We've all heard that. Right.
Or if you work in a hospital, which I'm sure happens a lot, emergency room or whatever, and people come in, or a doctor's office, and people come in and they say, yeah, you know, here's what happened. And then
the girl who's about to give birth and has no idea she's pregnant, and then comes up with some way that she got pregnant that
this is how it must have happened.
It's really not at all possible.
Right, right.
Lisa, what about your little friend Quinn, the cheerleader on Glee? What did she tell?
She
had a story. She made up something, right?
That she and Finn were in the hot tub, and he had a moment.
Uh huh.
And the little spermies just swam right to her.
Right.
Exactly. Perfect example.
They're well known to be able to withstand that kind of heat.
And then they just swim and swim and swim right through the hot tub and find their way.
Look,
they know where to go.
Here's the problem. And I'm guessing a lot of times this is sprung on somebody. Like, for example, they find out you're pregnant and you weren't ready for them to find out.
Right.
So now you're under pressure. Now you've got like 10 seconds to think of something and sell it.
Right.
And it's probably going to come out pretty stupid.
And by the way, again, we're going to take your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Drew coming up next there anyway. So we'll ask him what he's heard. I have heard more than one story from somebody, a religious person, who, of course, can never admit to having had sex, who will say, it's just like what happened in the Bible. It's immaculate conception. It's God that got me pregnant. I didn't have sex. I swear to you I didn't have sex. It must be the Holy Spirit.
Let's talk to Mark and find out his experience here. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hi.
What happened?
I've been married for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been out of town for about 6 months. My wife called me in tears. She had got a venereal disease.
Oh, and, good.
Fantastic, right?
Uh-huh.
So she got chlamydia. I went to the doctors. I got tested because I've been out of town. I had nothing. So that was it. Well, we went to counseling. We went to this faith-based counselor, which is awesome because I'm not a man of faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he basically said, well, God is in the room with us, so there's no way that she can lie if I ask her if she cheated on you.
What?
So he asked her, you know, did you cheat on him? And she said no. And
He said there, she didn't cheat on you, so maybe this is just a test from God to test the strength of your relationship before you decide to have children.
God gave her venereal disease?
and so along with the Immaculate Conception thing, I told him, I said, you know, I'm kind of down with that. I don't really believe it, but I can understand how people do, but I don't think God is handing out immaculate infections.
It certainly doesn't seem like he's in the business of handing out VD.
No. Mark, what ended up happening? You didn't buy the story. Your wife was, of course, relieved to get some backing that it wasn't her cheating, that it was God's interference. But what did you guys end up doing?
Just got divorced. That was it. It was over.
That was it, huh?
And now she's with that pastor.
Look, that has to be it. If she's trying to convince you that God gave her a venereal disease.
Chlamydia.
Come on. At that point.
At least go for the toilet seat.
She did the toilet seat thing. Actually, she said she got it from a toilet seat. She said maybe our cat had licked her.
Yes, that can happen.
That's fantastic. That's a great call, Mark. Thank you very much. That's exactly what we're talking about. The most creative excuses. And I guess we could open it up to STDs as well as pregnancy, but somehow you don't want to admit, or you heard of somebody who doesn't want to admit that they were cheating. They've got a fantastic explanation of what happened instead. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the story that apparently is not true, but it's a creative effort to explain to your husband serving our country in Iraq how you ended up pregnant with a black dude's baby while he was gone. Well, I was watching a 3D porn, and that's what got me pregnant, honey. That's the story that allegedly she came up with. We're talking about other creative stories that people have come up with. Listen to this one, Kevin. To explain a pregnancy or a venereal disease without having cheated or had sex. A girl I knew was a stripper and she got VD. She explained to her boyfriend by saying the disease was lingering on the stripper pole from the girl that danced prior to her.
Oh my gosh.
That's from Tara. Also, JJ writes in, my wife has these friends whose husband had a vasectomy 5 years ago. His wife got pregnant. He was crazy angry at her. Tried to throw her out, get divorced, the whole work. She consistently denied it. He made her get tested to find out who the baby was. Sure enough, it was his. His tubes had reattached. He's been living in hell ever since.
Yeah.
So apparently, sometimes when the other person says they're not cheating, the other person's not cheating.
And one more, and this is Michelle, and then we've got Dr. Drew in line. We're going to talk to him. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, hello.
Your girlfriend told you what?
Well, I've been dating her for 2 years. I thought she was a lesbian, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And she calls me up and tells me that she, by the way, honey, I'm pregnant.
And I'm surprised.
I'm really not that good. are you sure it's mine? And she told me that she had been on a prescription for Ambien. And suspected that she had been having random sex with someone.
Yes.
What?
She was sleep boning. Yes. Sleep boning. She would stand up in the middle of the night, fully asleep.
Driving a tractor, having random sex, yes.
Oh, my God. Now, was she sleeping in an area where there were guys around that she could have had sex with?
Not if she's driving a tractor.
She had really friendly neighbors.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's the best case scenario. Middle of the night. The girl comes over from next door. She's asleep. She doesn't know it. Hops in bed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does it? All right,
well,
Michelle.
It unraveled.
It unraveled. So you're saying it wasn't true?
Oh, no, it wasn't true.
Oh.
Nice effort, though. You got to give her some points for effort, right?
I did give her an A for effort.
And then kicked her right the hell out.
I stick around for a while until some guy shows up at my house and tries to vandalize my home, who later on I find out was a guy who was trying to have a three-way with us, and I was not interested.
Well, you shouldn't make up your mind so quickly on that. I mean, maybe it would have been good. That's all I'm saying.
Kevin believes that's all lesbians are lacking is a love for penis.
Thank you, Michelle, for the call.
Thank you very much for the call, my dear. All right, let's get a real live expert on. I'm sure Dr. Drew has heard every story under the sun about how people didn't cheat, they didn't have sex, but still miraculously ended up pregnant or with an STD. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Gentlemen, Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you, especially doing Loveline as long as you have. Taking calls.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I've definitely heard the stripper pole thing more than once.
You have, okay.
Is
that possible? It seems like it is.
Nah, I mean, you know, all these things are, like, they're not impossible, but here's the thing that's very common. People lie.
They're long shots.
Okay. Right.
But what about the two most common ones that you hear about are, I got it from a toilet seat or I got it from a doorknob? Same thing. It's technically possible under perfect laboratory conditions, but in the real world, it's just almost never likely to happen.
It just doesn't happen. It
just does not happen.
Honestly, honey, I fell on a doorknob.
Especially with STDs. Everyone wants to get STDs from toilet seats, and it just doesn't happen. Just does not happen. But the strange thing about Loveline, though, Mike, back me up on this. We hear so many calls every night, it's hard to even remember. You're overwhelmed with this tidal wave of stuff.
Right.
It's sort of slight. Mike and I were talking the other day. We couldn't even remember who we talked to at the end of the show, right?
What percentage of the calls do you think are people making up stories or somehow embellishing? Because it seems like it would be a lot.
Yeah, it's about 10%. You can tell.
Oh, that's
it.
Okay.
Right away. Yeah.
All right. Did you hear the story that kicked this all off, which is the girl who got pregnant while her husband was in Iraq fighting a war, and she said she got it from 3D porn.
My favorite story. I love it.
3D porn. That's possible, right?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Technology is amazing. It never ceases to amaze me how gullible people are, how little they understand about their bodies and science, and how much they lie.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Dr. Drew is on the phone with us as he is each Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sober House, of course, has wrap for this season, but you can check out video highlights of that great show at VH1.com. You're also on, you're working on this, what's it called, 16-year-old mom or teenage mom? What's that other show called, Dr. Drew?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that we're having the pregnancy conversation this morning. I've been doing some work. I was doing some work with Bristol Palin, in fact.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, she's a very cool young lady. She's really interesting, and she is certainly not tied to the strings of her mom, the apron. She is her own person, and she's outspoken. I really enjoyed working with her. But then at MTV, yes, we are doing the 16 and pregnant reunions and the teen mom reunions. We've got a reunion airing right now that's very interesting, and we just did another one last week. That's a show I'm actually very, very proud of. It tells the real story about teen pregnancy, and it seems to be having an impact.
Let me ask you this, Doc, because you spent some time with Ms. Palin. What about her mom's view, and a lot of people share this, about abstinence-only education in schools for teenagers? Clearly, it didn't work in Bristol Palin's case because she ended up getting pregnant, but I'm sure you had conversations with her and others about it. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. She brought it up, and she is not for it. She was very clear that it was a bad idea, that it would not help her. And we had a whole panel. The Candies Foundation, the people that make those shoes, were actually funding this whole thing. It was very, very well done, and the entire panel spontaneously was saying, look, that's just ridiculous. And of course, the science bears that out. I mean, if there was a good evidence that worked, we'd all espouse that.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence that works. It's having bad outcomes. It's hurting kids. And here's Bristol Palin saying the same thing. Oh, she's like, her thing was, hey, abstinence, good choice for some people. But to only understand that is ridiculous.
I can tell you that I came from a background where that was mainly what was taught.
Yeah.
And you want to get married at 12. You know what I mean? Like, you go,
and people get married really
if
early.
If I can't have sex till I'm married, then I want to get married right now, and that's a bad idea.
If I had to pick somebody who was reared on the breast of abstinence-only education, I would not pick Kevin Ryder.
Yeah, I know.
No.
I've drifted a bit, Doc.
Let me ask you one more thing about Bristol. So was she sexually ignorant, and that's how she ended up pregnant, or had she learned it from someplace else outside of abstinence or abstinence only that she'd been taught in school? How much did she know what was likely to happen when she started fooling around with that kid?
She understood what happened. Most of the girls in the panel felt that the real issue was having a douchebag boyfriend. That was the
right.
Well,
that is a big problem.
It doesn't help.
I mean, let's face it.
If you look, when I watch the 16 and pregnant series and I sort of prepare for these reunions, I'm literally embarrassed to have a Y chromosome. I mean, the way these young men treat these women is just reprehensible. It's incredible. And yes, indeed, everyone on the panel, 80% of the guys that get women, young women pregnant, do not stick around. And 100% of the women have a fantasy that that's what it's going to cause them to do.
Oh, no, that'll work. That'll save our relationship.
Right. The exact opposite that is what happened.
Dr. Drew, how's it going with Loveline with Psycho Mike? I mean, are you ready to slit your wrists? Are you ready to get your license taken away? How's it working with him?
Well, I'm heading over to the psych hospital right now where I'm going to admit myself.
Okay, good.
and Rudy has been a little bit cantankerous lately. Sad girl, I guess, put on a couple of pounds.
Oh,
and so
no.
Rudy's been very outspoken about that. Dean Simmons has been around a little too much, too.
Same as on our show. Listen, I know we don't have much time, but Psycho Mike, when is the great the Peter North contest? What is that happening on?
Well,
We haven't nailed down a date yet, but it's going to be very soon. It'll be by the end of this month, and I'm still very upset that Dr. Drew's so highfalutin that he won't partake in our little competition.
I just the idea of Mike with the scales of justice there weighing out. to me, this is an image I don't want emblazoned in my head.
And by the way, going in, that's like playing one on one against Kobe. I mean, there's no possible way.
Oh, but he's preparing.
I'm sure he is. He could be out there shooting free throws too. Wouldn't make a difference.
they could say a lot more about this on Love Line than we can in our time slot. But needless to say, Psycho Mike wants to have a volume competition with all of the guys on Love Line versus Peter North. It's just him versus them. And Dr. Drew, you know, being a tight ass, refuses to participate and contribute. How about that?
Imagine that. I'm so uptight.
Dr. Drew, you must honestly...
You can't even talk about it explicitly on your show, and I'm a tight ass.
I was just going to say, you know, you must every single 5 minutes have to go, should I do this because it would be bad for my reputation or whatever. You must think...
Oh, 5 minutes is far too... I have to keep my eye carefully on that ball.
Constantly.
Check your local listings for Loveline across these great United States. Midnight to 2 a.m., lots of places. Here on K-Rock, 10 till midnight. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday on the Kevin Beach Show. Doc, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Bye.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:57.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the show. Is beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Hey doesn't count much when the mic's not on. You know, he doesn't help me at all. Can't even hey, man. Hey.
Let me go back and play the song again?
No, that's all right. Just give me a little hay space. It's all messed up.
Well, give me a hay signal.
All right. I'll give you the hay signal.
All right.
This is the hay signal, by the way.
That's another signal, too, but all right.
Hey, happy Top Gun Day, everybody. What?
Try
happy
again?
Top Gun Day, everybody.
It is Top Gun
Day. Thank you.
I just want to make sure we don't lose track of the fact that it's Top Gun Day. It's a big holiday, and I don't want us to just gloss over. We talked about it early this morning with one of the co-creators of Top Gun Day, but I just want to keep the spirit of Top Gun Day alive. I think every day could be Top Gun Day if you live with the spirit of Top Gun in your heart.
Meaning you live in West Hollywood?
No. I mean, what if you're a maverick, man, and you don't want to be held down by the members of your team who say you're too dangerous, this scene from Top Gun?
We nailed that son of a bitch.
Ah, you guys really are cowboys.
What's your problem, Kazansky? You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous. That's right. Nice. Man, I am dangerous.
Yeah, he is dangerous.
That's right,
Ice. Man.
Ice.
I'm so dangerous, I can't put words together.
I just want to know something. Exactly how queer are you?
How dare you? Tom Cruise is very heterosexual.
We say that to Kevin every time we do our show. Every time you go on the air, you're dangerous, man.
That's right. I'm dangerous.
Let's talk about TV, shall we? Good news, if you're like me and you're a big fan of Human Target over there on Fox... That show was on the bubble, ratings-wise, but Fox has announced they are picking it up for another season.
Great.
So you get to see more of Christopher Chance protecting good people against the bad guys.
Although I rented Human Target over the weekend. It wasn't the same at all.
Do not rent any movies called Human Target.
I was not expecting
that. Of course, Jackie O'Haley plays Guerrero on that show.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining. Woo! Lie to Me, also picked up by Fox.
I like that one, too.
So there you go. Two shows that were questionable. Have been saved because Fox believes in them.
Love that show.
Not coming back. Oh. That is not coming back. Mm. But the good news is Christian Slater's getting another TV show.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yes. So,
well, it's track record, B. You know, when you're that successful.
He gets one a year, and they're wildly unpopular, so they have to give him another one.
Is this a deal where somebody is paying him whether he has a show or not, so they figure they might as well put him in something, Ralph?
Not that I know of, because he's had deals with a bunch of different networks.
It's well, then
like
America,
the same network.
America has shown they're not interested in seeing Christian Slater in anything.
He did the one where NBC, where he was a spy who didn't know he was a spy. Yes. Remember his split personality?
Yep.
Then he did one on ABC called The Forgotten, which was quickly.
Right.
And then now Fox.
Hmm.
Crazy.
They're just jamming Christian Slater down our throats.
Oh.
No one wants that.
And no one. We're rejecting you, television executives. Stop it. We don't want to watch Christian Slater on our TVs. What does it take? More TV news. Cougar Town over on ABC isn't getting nearly the attention it deserves. Apparently, some people say it's good. I've never watched an episode of Cougar Town.
I haven't either.
Maybe it's the crappy name. that keeps me away from Cougar Town. At least that's what co-creator Bill Lawrence seems to believe. So when it comes back next season, ABC has picked it up, they're going to give it a new title.
Older Women Who Like Younger Men?
Well, apparently that's the problem. That's really not what the show's about.
Oh.
Oh, it's not?
She had a little of that apparently early on in the season, but apparently it's taken on sort of a Friends kind of feel about her and her friends and everyone being funny and happy together.
Well, that
and stuff.
Is dumb, then. Why do they name it that if they're going to not go that direction?
That's what he says. A lot of people say, I don't want to see a show about some 4-year-old woman nailing younger guys, and then they watch an episode and they go, oh, that's what the show's about. I would watch this show.
I'd say that.
Because it's Courtney Cox.
Because Courtney Cox is the star of the show.
Wow, a little quick on the button there, Monkey.
Yeah, wow. Where's your mind?
Listen, I've already had to get out of delay once for you.
Courtney Cox.
What are you talking about the actress's name? You're trying to make it filthy.
Courtney Cox is her name. She's the star of the show. Everybody loves Courtney. Is that better? Is that happier for you?
My bad.
Wow, tough room.
Edited me, man.
My bad. I'm sorry. Wow. My bad. I'm scared. They put the fear of God in me. I'm sorry.
They put the fear in you? Today's celebrity birthdays. Harvey Keitel is 71 years old today. Stevie Wonder celebrates his 60th birthday. Nice thing is they can give him a cake with any number of candles on it that they want. Just tell him. Yeah, it's 60. Knock yourself up. Sure. Blow hard. Oh, yeah, go. Doesn't matter, man. Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report is 46 years old today. Maybe, we don't talk nearly enough about it. Maybe one of the funniest shows on television.
I agree. The 1-2 punch of The Daily Show and The Colbert Report.
And I think The Daily Show is consistently right up there, but for some reason when it goes to Colbert, it takes on even a whole new level of funny smart. That show destroys me on a daily basis.
If you want to learn about, if you want to be current and know what's going on in the world, but not be bored to death by newscasters,
it's perfect.
It is the best recap you can have. It is the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down.
Total just funny angles and really great. Comedy Central.
I like to stay current. So I watch iCarly. She discusses the day's issues.
Thank you. He sure does.
Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish is 44 years old today. And Rob Pattinson is 24 years old today. He, of course, from the Twilight movies.
Oh, he's so tortured.
Oh, poor guy.
So tortured.
Well, his guitarist is only fan.
Yeah, that's sad, man.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
All that success and money.
Yeah, it's rough. It's tough being him. He's just scared of vaginas. He said that once in an interview.
Did he?
Yeah. I got a message. I got to go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Here's the article that I saw yesterday quoting James Cameron, director of Avatar. The highest grossing film in history, by the way. Avatar has proved the 3D technology is not just a fad, but a revolution, changing how the audience chooses to consume media and entertainment content. Quite simply, where they had the choice, the audience was selecting the best possible way to see a movie, and they saw 3D as the premium viewing experience. James Cameron likened what he calls the 3D Renaissance to the advent of sound and color in motion pictures. Not everyone is delighted to hear that 3D is apparently the future of films, and one of those is our friend Russ Leatherman. You know him as Mr. Movie Phone and 6SecondReview.com. He joins us on The Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Russ, how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm here to profess my hatred of 3D.
Mr. Movie Phone, you're the movie guy. You must love 3D.
You know what? Here is the thing. I was one of the very first guys to jump on the bandwagon. Like, I really love the 3D technology. If you saw the movie Up or Coraline, which were really my first experiences with 3D, I was looking at it. I was immersed in the experience. I thought, this is absolutely awesome. Right? And then, by the way, we're heading into the summer movie season with a bunch of movies in 3D. And
almost all.
Yeah, almost all movies in 3D. You know, they started throwing movies like My Bloody Valentine and others, and I think the movie that put me over the edge with my hatred for 3D...
Was that crappy Avatar?
The horrible Avatar. Clash of the Titans.
I saw that. I saw Clash of the Titans in 3D, and it didn't bother me at all. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay, well, that's the difference between you and me, because let me tell you why I hated Clash of the Titans.
Okay.
One is I go to the theater, and they hand me these glasses, right? And the glasses weigh about 2 pounds. So,
that's true.
So I go in the theater, and I put on the glasses, and I'm watching sort of a half-crappy movie anyway. And really about 20 minutes in, I'm feeling a dent starting to sort of form on my nose.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen. Then about halfway through the movie, I take off the 3D glasses. And all of a sudden, it's a watchable movie. Because there are different types
Wait.
of...
I thought if it was 3D and you took off the glasses, it would be all out of focus.
Interesting thing. There are all D's are not created equal.
Okay.
Am I right, Lisa May?
Yeah, absolutely.
Done. Well, Clash of the Titans also wasn't filmed in 3D. Wasn't that some sort of a cheap make it up after it's already shot kind of attempt to turn it into 3D?
That is exactly right. 3D's done a few different ways. I mean, there's Real D, there's Disney Digital 3D, there's IMAX 3D. But what happened is when this bandwagon started going and people figured out, and studios figured out, you know what, I can charge people an extra $3. If they go to an IMAX 3D theater, I can charge people an extra $5 or more to go see one of these movies. They went and started retrofitting these movies. Big difference between a movie that was shot in 3D, made for 3D, and a movie that was retrofitted for 3D. For example, Alice in Wonderland. It's an okay movie, right? But retrofitted for 3D, and you could sort of feel it as you were watching it. You could tell that the 3D wasn't great. Clash of the Titans, literally, if you took the 3D glasses off, a little image in the corner might have been blurry, but the rest of the thing was in focus because what they would do is they would just take particular images, make those in 3D, so they could call it a 3D movie, and then the rest of it completely watchable.
I wish I would have known that because I have a gigantic head, and those glasses started really just squeezing my brain together.
That's the deal, right?
All right, like, so what if they made bigger glasses for people with gigantic heads?
Yeah, but they did. By the way, we should go into business and make some giant noggin-sized glasses because that is the problem. And because 3D isn't the same, like literally when I went to see Up in Coraline, there were these sort of bigger glasses. They were very light. I really felt like it was a great experience. In fact, as you guys know, I do a little movie segment on CNN. I went on CNN and I was talking about these movies. And one of the anchors said to me, well, how's the technology? You know, is it improved from the 50s? Is it? And I'm saying, yeah, it's awesome. You know, the glasses, you don't feel it. They're perfect. You're immersed in the experience. After that segment, I got probably a 5-page dissertation from one of the guys who co-invented the 3D technology. And he said, okay, CNN, most trusted name in news, not only are you wrong about this, but you're dead wrong. And he went on to talk about how what's going on in your brain with the 3D glasses, and they've really never done any long-term testing, and there's about a 50-50 chance that you're going to end up with bloody eye.
What?
Oh, my God.
Seen one movie?
Wow. You kind of buried the lead, Mr. Moviefo. You should have led with bloody eye.
you really should. But literally, he was telling me how they you know, no long-term tests, and so don't go on TV saying how it's perfect and it doesn't hurt anybody. And in fact, now that they've moved to 3D TVs, you know, I have a son who's 17 years old and likes and loves to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
And Avatar and a lot of the other video games coming out in 3D,
you have
to have the 3D TV.
Right.
But, you know, there are nights where I will leave him at 6 p.m. and at 7 a.m. he's still there playing the game.
Yeah.
What is going on in his brain? Right? Like something bad has to be going on.
Did you use the word blood eye for him? Bloody eye.
Bloody eye.
He's telling, hey, bloody eye, dude.
Yeah, it's
think about that. I can't wait for sports on 3D TV, though.
You know what? I think that I do, and Katzenberg. By the way, the thing that pisses me off the most, I think, is the fact that they're charging more for a premium experience when a lot of times it's just not a premium experience. In fact, it's a terrible experience. But I think you're right.
To recap, Mr. Moviefone, because we're almost out of time. If you're going to go see a 3D movie, pick and choose. Do the research and find out that the movie was shot in 3D. Find out which theater is the best one to see it in. Find out which are the best glasses to use. And pick your experience that way so you end up with the good experiences like you had with the first couple you mentioned. And then stay away from the ones where you're just getting ripped off.
Ripped off $50, and I think Kevin's exactly right. Sports in 3D. You know, at the point we get to take off the glasses and we try to wear those glasses over other glasses.
Yeah, no. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that seems rough. I need to get my own. I need to start my own company where I make really cool 3D glasses.
Well, really cool 3D glasses, and to shut out the people who are sitting around you eating popcorn. How about some movie headphones?
Ooh, I like it.
Now we're talking. We're talking.
All right.
Well, you brought up some excellent ideas, something to think about, especially as we're heading into. Is Robin Hood in 3D this weekend? By the way, Mr.
Robin Hood
or no?
Not in 3D, and Iron Man, you know, not in 3D, and perfectly fine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do have Shrek two or four Ever After to look forward to.
I think it's three.
Whatever.
The,
it's going
to
be
get
bad.
Your yeah. Get your reviews delivered to your cell phone every Thursday before the weekend's movies open at 6secondreviews.com. Russ Leatherman has been our guest. He is Mr. Movie Phone. Thanks for coming on, Russ. We
Thanks,
enjoyed
guys.
It.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Barack and Michelle, how the f*** are you?
Well, first of all, Mr. Connery, we always appreciate your time to come on the Kevin Bean Show, but if we could ask if you could watch your language a little bit, because we are on U.S. radio, sir.
Oh, I humbly apologize. I had no idea, so just f*** my
Okay, that's not going to make it any better. Kevin, you read a fascinating story involving Mr. Connery the other day, a medical oddity this time.
Well, yeah, it's phonognosia, I believe is how you say it, and it's the inability to recognize voices. And there's a woman in Britain who has it who can't even recognize. She's on the phone with her husband. She doesn't know who it is.
That's bizarre.
She's on the phone with her daughter. She doesn't know who it is. There's one exception, and it's Sean Connery.
Oh, my goodness. Is that true?
If she could hear your voice, Sean, she knows exactly who it is. Wow. Anybody else, including her relatives, she has no idea.
Well, dip me in and call me salty.
I'd rather not if I have the option.
That is something else, isn't it?
That's it's a crazy story, and I don't know anything about this lady if she's just a huge Sean Connery fan, and that's something that has stuck with her through all this other medical drama. But it's in a way, it's a little bit of a compliment that you have the most recognizable voice in the world to one person.
It absolutely is. I'm quite flattered, and I can't help but wonder if she'd recognize my as well.
Oh, well, I don't know why you would even say something. This doesn't have anything to do with that.
Well, try to consider the reasons why a woman would remember me so intently.
Well, that's a good point.
I'm assuming we must have had relations at some point.
Right. But
and by relations, I mean
okay. Look, we know what you mean.
Right. But she does that probably with her husband as well. Can't recognize his voice.
Do you know this woman's name? Let me see if I actually had sex with her.
Let's see. This woman's name is...
She is identified only as K.H. They are not giving
K-H.
Out her name.
Oh, yes, I remember K.H. I think I made love to her right after B.L. and just before M.T.
Sean, maybe she's just a huge James Bond fan. Maybe she spent a lot of time watching you as 007, and that's, I'm just guessing here, but maybe that's her favorite movie character, and that's why she's, you know, so happy.
Well, that would be flattering. Maybe that is the reason. Or maybe I f*** her.
Oh, man.
Well, why would you even suggest
that?
Wow. That's
saying,
terrible.
There's a potential for that.
I got to be honest, and I hate to do this, but I got to side with Sean. If that happened,
that
would be recognizable. Right, yeah. She would remember that forever.
Yeah. Are they sure it's neurological? Perhaps she has an ear problem. Perhaps, you know, their ears are filled with
Okay. I don't know why that would ever happen.
That can happen sometimes.
Yeah.
I know a woman it happened to.
Yeah.
It also happened to Daniel Craig.
Is that right?
Right now. Hey, Kevin, how about my favorite TV theme show? Would you please?
My name is Cleveland Brown, and I am proud to be right back in my hometown with my new family. There's old friends and new friends and even a bear. Through good times and bad times, it's true love we share. And so I found a place where everyone will know.
I think we got the gist of it.
This is the Cleveland Show.
Mike Henry, co-creator, executive producer of the Cleveland Show, Sunday nights on Fox. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. What a tune, eh?
It's a great tune. By the way, I read an article the other day, and I guess briefly they were going to eliminate the whole category on the Emmys of I guess they had a category for television themes. I didn't even know they still had one. But apparently they were going to eliminate it because so few shows even have themes anymore, and virtually none have lyrics. Yours is really a throwback.
Hey, so we still have a chance? Do they keep the category?
Well, the only person that has one, yeah. You mean
all
you?
Right.
You listen to Lost, and they've got a little sounder. It goes.
I'm going to put it over my large screen.
There you go.
It is true that back in the day when I was coming up, anyway, all the shows had theme songs that you could sing along to, but very few of them do anymore. So anyway, I thought that's an awesome throwback that you put that on the Cleveland Show.
Oh, thank you. That was Walter Murphy's music. He rocks it out. He does all of our music on our show, and. You know, we got a retro 70s feel to a lot of what we're doing, so...
Is it hard to sing in a voice?
It's actually much easier to sing in a voice rather than your own voice.
Is that right?
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, you can kind of hide behind it, you know.
Sure.
I saw an article. Of course, everybody is looking at the TV ratings these days, and Fox, like all the networks, has had its share of problems. But the real standouts for the network, for Fox, are Glee, So You Think You Can Dance, and your show, The Cleveland Show, are the three that have been going up. So congratulations, Mike.
Yes, thank you. You know, it was nice to have a platform like Family Guy to jump off of.
Sure. But, a bit of a lead-in.
We're finding our own voice here as we go along. We've already produced season two. We're waiting on an order for season three, and our last two episodes of season one air this Sunday at 8:30 and next Sunday at 8:30.
Before we talk about your event that's happening 1 week from tonight that is for a great cause, I have to ask you about working with Kanye West as Kenny West on The Cleveland Show. Tell me how that one came down.
I hate to disappoint anybody looking for some dirt, but he was totally cool. He, you know, we reached out to him. We heard he liked Family Guy and American Dad. That was before we aired. And so we asked him if he wanted to come and do a guest spot. And within an hour, he personally got back in touch with us and said, absolutely.
No kidding.
Yeah, he came in and he was kind of like almost a geek about the whole thing. He just loved the animation process. He literally spent 4 hours taking a tour of the place and seeing how it all worked. And he was like, you know, a kid behind, you know, in a candy store.
Mike, you must have been like, all right, listen, dude, listen, we got to have work to do.
We got to get some, lay something down, right?
We can't keep giving you a tour, Kanye. We got to move on.
That's right. Yeah. Why is Kanye West eating McDonald's in my office?
Now, a lot of times it seems like animated shows will bring in the stars. And you've done a great job on The Cleveland Show with specific guests, like Hall & Oates. I mean, you want them to play themselves. I get that because that's awesome. But a lot of times it seems like they bring in people for the name value. That doesn't mean they necessarily have the skills to make great animation. Is it tough to coax the kind of performance you want out of people who are not professional voice actors sometimes?
No, actually, you know, we just won't try. I mean, we'll have a good sense if somebody's going to work or not. And in Kanye's case, you know, he was great. He was a natural. He came and rapped. And, you know, next season we've got Will.i.am and T-Pain and Carl Reiner. That's Rollo's new posse, two hip-hop guys.
Who doesn't fit in that group?
Jewish man. you know, so, we just got all kinds of folks coming in and out. And I think it's cool because it's easy for them to do. They can kind of be anywhere in the country and record, or in another country, frankly, and we just cut them in, and people want to see themselves animated. So a lot of people really want to do it.
Have you ever had somebody do that where you contact them, they say yes, they send you the tape, and then you go, all right, not going to be using that?
Yeah, we've had to replace a couple people that didn't quite...
Who?
Hey, Mike, listen to this. Kevin and Bean got cut out of King of the Hill. We were asked to record something for King of the Hill. It wasn't good enough. They didn't use it. So we've been on the receiving end of that phone call.
Well, you know what? We'll have you on our show.
And then cut us out.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the voice of Mike Henry. You, of course, know him and love him as Cleveland on The Cleveland Show. He's the co-creator, executive producer. You also, of course, hear him on The Family Guy. That's part of the Sunday Night Fox lineup. But you are going to be in person doing something for a great cause 1 week from tonight. Mike, what's that all about?
It's the Camp Comfort benefit next Thursday at the Sunset Towers. And basically, a girl that I went to high school with passed away a couple years ago, and she had two young kids. So what it is it's a camp that, you know, basically it's for kids who have lost a sibling or a parent, and, you know, to get together with other kids that have the same type of situation. And it really does a lot of cool stuff and makes them, it helps put it all in perspective. And there are just so many wonderful stories coming out of that. And they asked me to be a part of it, and I said, absolutely. So I'm going to be emceeing and auctioneering next Thursday. It's going to be a cool thing. I think it's $125 for a ticket, and that's an open bar and a dinner and all kinds of cool stuff to bid on, including...
Are you going to auction as Cleveland?
I'll do some, sure.
All right.
Hopefully a totem pole doesn't hit me in the head like Family Guy. But basically, you know, we're going to give away you can have your likeness drawn on The Cleveland Show, come to a table read, get an autographed script, and, you know, that's just one of many things that we'll be giving away next, or auctioned off next Thursday.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Silent and live auctions, music, dancing, hors d'oeuvres, open bar... you're going to be there. ComfortZoneCamp.org is the website. And again, it's in Hollywood. That's next Thursday night. ComfortZoneCamp.org. Sounds like a great organization. Mike, you've been doing phenomenal work on season one, man. We can't wait for season two. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Felton. Thank you.
Blink 182, also Muse, P.O.D., and comedian David Spade, all coming up the next few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
McGroover! Used to be sketch, now it's a movie. MacGruber's coming out. We've got a special advanced screening coming up. If you'd like to see MacGruber before anyone else does, well, you're out of luck. No. You can call now. 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers to get through and sing the theme song word, MacGruber!
They have to sing it.
No, they have to sing it.
All right.
Operators are now on duty. Call now, and the first five people who go, MacGruber! Will get a pair of passes to our very special event.
Yes,
seriously.
And then when we go to them on the air, if they don't do it, tickets get yanked.
We're going
to
say, hello, you're winning. They go, MacGruber!
Right.
I was calling for tickets, and now I'm a winner.
Wait,
MacGruber!
Wait, do they have to sing all that?
No, they don't. Okay. They give us a nice MacGruber.
All right.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, frapulous day. Oh, magical moment.
Really?
Oh, happiness of joy beyond joys.
Yes.
Just announced, Italian filmmaker Claudio Fragasso is in talks with producers about doing Troll 2 Part 2.
Whoa!
Yay!
Troll 2 Part 2.
Troll 2 Part 2.
So that's
not Troll 3?
Not Troll 3. Troll 2 Part 2. The sequel to Troll 2.
Okay.
Because Troll 2 wasn't really a sequel to Troll at all.
It had no relation to Troll.
It was a different film called Goblin that they slapped Troll 2 on the title of.
Okay.
Okay.
But Troll 2 is getting such a warm reception these days, what with the addition of this documentary about how horrible this film is.
Right.
Plus people discovering the wonderful horrors of Troll 2 and the amazing ego on this director, Claudio Fragasso, who thinks it's really a piece of work.
Wait, he's the guy that
he's
directed?
He's the Italian director. His wife wrote it, and he came to America and did this low-budget horror movie.
Oh, I didn't know he was the original director of Troll 2.
Yes.
Awesome.
And you got to see this documentary, because he comes back to America, and they have these midnight showings and stuff where people are just goofing on this film and mocking it. And he's like, they laugh at the part of the films where it's supposed to be laughing, but they also laugh where not supposed to be laughing. They can't comprehend how his piece of art is being roundly mocked by people.
So he's going to take
it. It's about the family breaking apart, the American family breaking apart. It is an allegory for that. No, it's not. It's just horrible.
Oh, I can't wait then.
So he wants to make Troll 2 Part 2, and apparently he's talking with producers right now.
That's what I'm talking about. I hope they say all of them say yes.
Yes. If not, we might have to have a bake sale just to finance this film. And I think we could do it with like a tray of brownies and a bundt cake, given how this guy shoots film. I don't think it would cost us that much out of pocket. And think what we could recoup. We could become moguls. How about that? Melfond Productions presents Return to Nilbog, Troll 2 Part 2.
I like it.
It's going to be spectacular.
You're not making the compelling case you think you are.
Yes, I am.
Do we do the soundtrack? King of Mexico wants to know?
Absolutely.
Is that the Melvin part? Melvin soundtrack?
Melvin will do the soundtrack. Betty White has to die now.
No,
she doesn't. She's had her
moment. Is
that
a new Facebook
page? She's had her moment in the sun. I'm going to start it.
I hope so.
She's had her moment in the sun. She's been for a long time. Then we did this big SNL thing, and everyone got behind it. Isn't that cute? It was great.
It was a triumph.
It makes a lovely ending, a lovely coda to a wonderful life and career.
But
and now, lay down and take the long dirt nap.
But Ralph, she's old and she says the word penis.
A lot. Because now it's like Betty White mania. Everything's got to be Betty White. There's a new Facebook campaign started this week to get Betty White to host the Oscars.
Well, clearly that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But how many more of these are we going to have to put up with?
I don't know.
Betty White do this, and let's let
and
Betty
so
White do that.
And so your answer is she has to die.
If she just shuffles off this mortal coil, we will have no longer have to deal with the people trying to get Betty White to do stuff.
Stop
but it's
it.
Not her fault. She didn't do anything to cause this.
She's Betty White.
She's being
right.
Betty White.
Without Betty White, there's no Facebook pages regarding Betty White.
I guess I can't argue with that.
No, if she's dead, then there won't be a page to try to get her to host the Oscars and the Emmys and be on the
point.
Final 24 and everything else they're trying to get her to do.
That's right. Oh, Final 24. I might get behind that.
Hey, take it easy with
that. Strong. James Gandolfini's working again.
Is he?
Yeah, HBO has just cast him in a new series about a taxi driver.
Okay. And he's
apparently it's a gritty city story where he plays a disgruntled taxi driver. Look, I'll watch him do freaking anything.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
Brilliant. And apparently he's also got a gig in a made-for-TV movie about a family, which really was the first reality television show. It was a PBS documentary made in the 70s called An American Family. And they set up cameras in the home of a family. I'm not kidding. Their name was the Loud family.
Oh, good.
And documented basically the disintegration of their family. It was a PBS documentary that was the original reality show.
So it was a comedy?
No.
Oh.
And apparently they're making a made-for-TV movie, a fictional movie, about the Loud family being filmed in the real movie that was a documentary.
I'm confused.
Make any sense?
Huh?
They're going to tell the story of this family, but they're going to just do it in a fictional way, casting actors. And James Gandolfini, Tim Robbins, and Diane Lane have all been cast in the film. So pretty strong cast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bravo.
It's going to be 3D, yeah. I can't wear the glasses. It hurts my nose. What a wuss Leatherman is, huh? Mr. Movie Mo.
I put on the glasses, but I got a sore right there with the bridge of my nose, and I said, this is for the birds.
The thing is, his point was it was not only uncomfortable, but it wasn't worth it because the 3D was chintzy. I think that was his bigger point.
No, but that was his intent. What a tremendous fruit roll-up he is. I don't see any winners for the MacGruber tickets, by the way.
What happened?
Can no one say, MacGruber, it's not that hard.
I don't know, there's a bunch of people on hold, but they're not putting up any information.
No names, there's no winner one, winner two, nothing. I got nothing to go to.
Tell them again what they need to do.
MacGruber! You got to do that when you call in.
When you call.
Yeah, and we were going to put a couple in the air, I thought we said.
That'd be funny.
We did, but
I guess not.
I don't think they're listening to us in the other room anymore. I think they've switched over to Seacrest or something.
Well, I can't say that I blame them. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Harvey Keitel is 71 years old today. Very talented actor. Maybe he can be Troll 2 Part 2.
Oh, that'd be great.
Return to Nilbach. Stevie Wonder is 60 years old today. Stephen Colbert turns 46. Darius Rucker, formerly of Hootie and the Blowfish, is 44 years old. And Robert Pattinson, one of the biggest stars in the world thanks to the Twilight films, is 24 years old today. Do we have a winner?
We do.
Have somebody? Let's go to Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, MacGruber!
Right, that's it. That's what we're looking for.
He threw a hay in, but okay.
Yeah, we'll give it to you. Right. Congratulations, you're winning tickets to the advanced screening of MacGruber!
MacGruber!
Ralph Garman, I walk the show biz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. David Spade's on the phone, by the way. And before we go to him, Kevin, is there anyone you can think of who you own more movies personally than David Spade? I'm looking at this dude's resume. I'm thinking this is like going to your house.
No, I think I own them all.
I think you do. And, of course, he's got the new grown-ups coming out with Adam Sandler and Chris Rock and everybody. And he's one of the stars of the Monday night hit comedy on CBS, Rules of Engagement. David Spade, back on the Kevin and Bean Show here. How are you, David?
I like that wind-up. That sounded good. sounds like I got a lot of stuff going on.
It does. It sounds like you're a lot more happening than you probably are. How you been, dude? We haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm good. I'm on my way to IHOP to eat because I'm still a little bit of Joe Dirt, and I can't shake it.
Sure. Let me tell you something. I'm going to stand up for IHOP, and I take a lot of grief. This is Bean speaking, David. I love IHOP, and I had lunch there with a radio friend of mine a couple weeks ago who said to me that he had not been to IHOP since he was a little kid and went with his grandfather and never thought that he would go again in the rest of his life. But it's a fine restaurant, right?
Hey, listen, they play 80s tunes in there, and it's bright and sunny. I read the paper.
Look,
nobody gets hurt.
Look,
like it.
David's going. He doesn't want to make a big deal out of how it's the best restaurant ever. Bean, take it easy.
I didn't say it was the best restaurant.
Take it easy.
I'm just telling you, they got the hot. You can get the hot syrup if you request it.
It's one of those nuggets. Like I ate Der Wiener Schnitzel the other day, and I go, "This place is pretty happening." And maybe I go 10 years in between, but
right. That's the point, because that's the kind of restaurant it is. Bean would go every day.
Don't make a habit of it.
Yeah.
I've just said, all right, listen, before we talk about your big... benefit this weekend, which I'm very much behind and very excited that you are standing up for, before we get to that, I have to ask, because okay. I saw the trailer for Grown Ups ahead of Iron Man. I guess it was ahead of Iron Man last week.
Oh, sweet.
And I thought, first of all, nice placement there. Second of all, how could any one movie afford you and Sandler and Kevin James and Chris Rock and Rob Schneider? I mean, everybody's in this movie.
Yeah, they're making payments. I still haven't even been paid.
You haven't been paid?
No, it's good because Adam, it's mostly Adam and Adam's idea. And that was one of those, I remember talking to Chris Rock going, I think whatever they say we get, we take. And he's like, yeah, of course, it wasn't one of those haggling situations. It was just like, I want to be in it. These are the movies I wait all my life for. It's going to be great. And I should pay to be on the set like a contest winner. So I wound up having a great time, and it worked out being a funny movie. I've seen it 3 times. I saw it out in Ontario. You know, you got to take it, you got to push it inland a little bit,
right?
You know, when you test these things. But I really like it. I've seen it 3 times. I had a great time. I can't wait. It's just taking too long till June, you know.
I always wondered if, because you guys have all been stayed friends and stayed in touch since your Saturday Night Live days together, and I always wondered if when you're in the cast of Saturday Night Live, if you bond with your fellow comedians the way guys bond, you know, in war, and you're friends for life because you were on that show and survived that together.
Well, yeah, it is a little like war, except in war you're not trying to stab the other guy on your team. But and Saturday Night Live, it's a little
more cutthroat.
Cutthroaty. That's why it's even a bigger victory that we stayed friends, because you know you're kind of indirectly in competition with the other guy,
sure,
or directly, and so you've got to try to just check the ego. And I was always on there with everyone, you know, honestly doing better. So it was hard to see Sandler crush every week, or Dana Carvey, or Mike Myers. It was just very tough to be in a place where I go, I'm pretty good, everyone's really good.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, gotcha. I sure wish I was as good as everyone else. That'd be cool. That's how I feel in this job.
Sometimes guys didn't get mad at me, and I go, wait, maybe they don't get mad at me because I'm not a threat to them. Now I'm offended.
All right, well, listen, the reason Mr. Spade is on the Kevin Bean Show today is not to pump up his own show business career. It's because he's actually given something back with some Hollywood friends this Saturday night, and I am so glad that you are doing Cash for Nash, because I think this is one of the great disasters of 2010 that has been horribly underreported by the media. Tell people what's going on, David.
Well, I'm just a typical idiot watching TV, but I agree that when there's the Nashville, all that stuff in the surrounding areas got pretty drenched and wiped out by storms and tornadoes or whatever. That was around the oil spill, which is another. It's so scary. I don't even know where to start with that one. But I don't have any 100-ton things in my yard I can throw on top of that.
Right. Sure.
So and then it was the car bomb in New York City weekend. So there was just too much going on, and I think it got swept under a little bit. I just feel like being just basically an American, that's Joe Dirt country, Nashville, all that has been good for me. My movies are there. It's part of the country. You know, people are helping Haiti. At least when it's in our own home place, we got to help out. And
now,
let's not forget about this place. You know what I mean?
If Joe Dirt didn't do as well there, would you not be doing this benefit?
No, I actually have friends there. And,
all right.
You know, and I know they've got a lot of country people down there, and of course they're going to help out. And I wanted to be someone that's not totally directly connected with it, but still trying to help out. And believe me, I'm doing what I can. It's not going to be millions of dollars, but we're doing 2 shows at the Improv this Saturday, and it's, you know, Kevin Nealon's on one and Sarah Silverman's on the other with me and Todd Glass and Jeffrey Ross. We're just whoever wants to come down, kind of. We're putting on to give everybody a good show, and then we give the money to them, and then I'll probably put on a little extra there just to make it an even something. And we'll just keep, I think it's more to get the awareness and to let them know, you know, all over the country we should kind of pull together for our own peeps.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I don't think people realize the river flooded, and it's over $1 billion damage, 30 people dead, which doesn't seem like a lot unless you're a family member of one of those 30 people. But, I mean, it's going to take them years to come back from this. It was a horrible, horrible tragedy. They got, Kevin, they got almost 14 inches of rain in 2 days in Nashville.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous, yeah.
Out, we've got 14 inches in 2 days.
You know, you can always...
It was 1 inch a day for 7 Okay, no, different
math. You can...
So there, what's that? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there are lots of ways that you can look into. You know, you can always do the text, the 90999, you know, text Red Cross to make a $10 donation. They're doing that for the Nashville flood as well. But this sounds like a fun way to have a great evening out this Saturday night. Also raise money for a great cause and help raise awareness at the Hollywood Improv, 8162 Melrose in Los Angeles. You can get tickets through improv.com. You mentioned some great comedians on the bill with you, David. I'm glad you're doing it, and we appreciate you calling in on the Kevin Bean Show, man. We enjoyed it.
No, thanks, guys. It's a good chance to hear my my crummy jokes and help out. And then it is tied in with the Red Cross. And, you know, I hope those people are doing that. They know what they're doing more than I do. So right. I hand it to them, and then they do the right thing.
Well, you know how to sell it. Crappy jokes. That's good. Rules of Engagement also.
I don't want to mislead the audience.
Rules of Engagement also Mondays at 8:30 on CBS. Thank you, David Spade. We appreciate it.
Good chatting with you again. It won't be so long next time.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Don't forget, tickets go on sale today if you're a Street Team member. Go to krock.com. You can put in all the information. You get a password. Today at noon, you can buy tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2010. Today at noon. Today at noon.
Today?
So,
today?
So you'll have the tickets today.
Noon?
And then everybody else has to wait until Saturday at noon.
Oh.
And then they get their pick of what's left. But you get a first shot at it.
You don't want
that.
You don't want to pick over the leftovers.
No. So go to krock.com, sign up, make sure you're a Street Team member. They will send you the password. And then today at noon, you can buy tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2010. It's the world famous K-Rock at 9:43.
We have just a few moments remaining of today's Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to fill it up with Ralph Garman and another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Last hour, we talked about the new Fox pilot starring Christian Slater.
Yes.
And we mentioned how we really don't need to see Christian Slater on television. We've rejected him several times over. Get the hint.
Right.
Here's the power I wield in Hollywood.
They're boys and girls.
Okay. You listen up. Power brokers of the show business, pay attention to this voice, because guess who's calling the shots now? Just announced, Fox says they have killed Christian Slater's new comedy, Breaking In.
Wow!
They will not be producing that series.
Wow!
I can make careers, or I can break careers.
So somebody should check on Betty White to make sure she's not dead, since you wished for that last hour, too.
I'm not whacking people. I'm just saying.
You're having people whack people.
I'm just saying I can control how things roll in Hollywood.
But I feel like you're Iron Man when he first built the suit, that you've got so much power that you can't even control it all properly. I'm just worried that you put it out there and it might just happen whether you really want it to or not.
Don't you worry about me, Pepper Potts. I'm just fine.
Now the government's going to want this technology.
Right.
They're going to argue for it.
Good news is that there is a new series on ABC that just got picked up starring Julie Benz and Michael Chiklis.
No kidding.
Oh. That's a good duo. Love them both a lot.
Yeah.
It's called No Ordinary Family, and it is a series about a family that suddenly develops superpowers and has to learn how to deal with their new abilities. It's kind of Heroes meets The Incredibles.
Huh. Did you say movie or TV series?
TV series.
Huh.
I think it could be interesting.
Cable?
ABC.
ABC.
Yep.
Now, Chiklis, of course, famous from The Shield and from The Thing and the X-Men movie. And then Julie Benz was Dexter's wife, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, both good actors.
I'm going to miss her so much on Dexter. That show's going to take an interesting turn now.
Yeah.
Hey, don't spoil it, man. Don't spoil it.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm fine.
I believe that Dexter goes home and she's waiting for him with a plate of cookies and everything's going to be fine.
All right, whatever you
need.
It's
a dream.
Fox canceled a couple other TV pilots, which I was kind of looking forward to. One was called Taxman, which starred Martin Short and Judy Greer. How funny does that sound already?
Wow.
Well, wait, if you were for it, how did they cancel?
I didn't know. It was too late. I didn't have a chance to weigh in on this decision.
They didn't ask you.
Yeah.
All right.
Judy Greer, by the way, is just so funny.
Oh, I love her so much.
Did you see the Modern Family episode where she played Ty Burrell's old high school girlfriend?
Yes,
and
I did.
She comes back to visit, and his wife, Julie Bowen, is saying, she wants to do. He's like, no, we just met up on Facebook. We're just friends.
Right.
And she's constantly trying to hump him when she comes to visit at the house. Very, very funny.
Ralph, have you seen the new Modern Family controversy that is getting a little bit stronger every week?
No.
What's the controversy?
A lot of people are saying, hey, we appreciate the fact that you have this this committed gay couple represented on Modern Family,
yes.
But why are they the only couple on the show that has never kissed? What's up with that?
Oh, really?
Oh, for God's sake.
That's what people are saying.
It's not the L word. It's just a little comedy. Can't we just get along?
Wow.
You know how the folks are.
Look, I saw a trailer for this week. The married couple gets laid.
That's not enough, Ralph. They have to kiss.
No, because they go to Hawaii this week.
Oh, late. See, late. See?
I was hoping somebody would pick up my
alley. Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
It was an alley with no oop. That's what that was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You threw it up there. It was right by the rim.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it.
You're all LeBron James about it and just all hurt and whatnot.
What a weird time it is in the playoffs, both hockey and basketball. The Cavs, who just looked like had the golden ticket.
They're going to steamroll everyone.
They lose to Boston tonight, they're done.
Yeah.
And then the Habs, the Canadians, beat the Penguins last night.
It's ridiculous.
Odd that the top seeds are just dropping like flies.
We're living an upside-down world right now.
We are. And let me continue that thought by saying Robert Pattinson wants to be a rapper.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, please make that happen, Ralph. You
have
the voice.
Stars of Twilight appeared on Oprah Winfrey's show recently. They filmed their episode with Oprah, and they talked about their plans and their history and what they want to do. And Robert Pattinson admitted that he has got a long-time dream since he was 14 years old to be a rapper.
Please do that.
He said that's how he learned to speak with an American accent, was by his rapping skills, listening to rappers and rapping himself.
That'd be sweet.
He sure has the energy to be a great hip-hop artist.
He does. That. He should just be a hype man, because he really can just fill a room
around his neck.
That's right.
He's so passionate when he shares his feelings with us.
Flava Pattinson.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
While we're talking about TV, I neglected to mention the good news of that Human Target and Lie to Me also picked up. For another season for each of those shows over on Fox, so that's good news. Look at Fox, are you watching Fringe this season?
Yes.
Boy, has it been good.
That is fantastic.
And the guy from the other side of the universe is Walternate.
Yes.
Hey, don't spoil it.
That was on last week, man. It's a new one tonight.
If you haven't seen it, man, spoiler. You got to catch up.
Agent Dunham, I must find Peter. He says that a lot in that show.
He does. Yeah.
So he got off the island or still on the island?
Stop it.
The man in black killed Jacob?
Damn,
what?
God. And lastly, are you familiar with Sir Ian McKellen?
Yes.
Of course.
Fantastic. Also from the X-Men.
Fantastic actor.
He played Magneto in the X-Men, of course. Brilliant.
He's good in everything.
British actor. He is doing a stage show in Australia called Waiting for Godot. I don't know if you're familiar with this play or not. It's a two-man show. Basically, these two hobos, take the stage, and they're waiting for this character, the third character, Godot, who never shows up. And it's an existential play about what life is about and how it's a great play. And it's about how meaningless life is and how we spend most of our lives just waiting for something to happen that never does. Anyway, they dress as bums. During a break in rehearsal, Ian McKellen went outside.
I like it.
And had his hat off in his lap, and someone came by and gave him a dollar. While he was sitting there thinking he was homeless. He said he did keep it. He said, but if anyone contacts them and they can prove that was them, he will take a dollar off their ticket price to come see the show.
That's research for the character.
Rarely you see a 70-year-old knight
being
thrown a buck because they thought he was a tramp. I thought that was a funny story. All right, let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Speaking of DJ Rob Pattinson.
Yeah.
He is 24 years old today.
Oh, please rap.
24.
Please rap. Wow. Please rap. Please rap.
Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish is 44 years old today. Isn't that funny? Robert Pattinson, a white guy, obviously wants to be black. Right. Darius Rucker, black guy who obviously wants to be white.
Yeah.
Now that he is recording country music.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you're talking to David Spade, you neglect to mention, that's why God flooded Nashville.
Is that why?
Oh, yeah.
Because of country music?
Country music. He had an ass full like the rest of us and said, let's just open up the gates.
We don't have the
build an ark. Build an ark. Put Conway Twitty on it. But everyone else is going down.
That's what he said. A lot of good people in Nashville.
We don't have the cartoon hate for country music that you do.
Well,
but
now that I run Hollywood, you might want to change your tune because I can end your career.
I'm with you then.
Maybe I can because you've been trying to end your career for years and you don't seem to have any luck with it.
He's bulletproof.
You might be invulnerable. Stephen Colbert from the Colbert Report is 46 years old today. Singer Stevie Wonder is 60. And Harvey Keitel, another brilliant actor, is 71. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, a brand new program. We're going to tell you about a Chinese astronaut and his meals in space.
Uh-huh. What's he eating there in space, Kevin?
He's eating dog, perhaps.
Huh.
Maybe dog, maybe. Lisa, you love it?
I don't.
Movie beat because it's Friday. People who leave their TV on for dogs. We got to talk about that.
And think their dogs are watching it, more importantly.
That's Bean. Plus, Kyle Gass is going to be in the studio with his band Trainwreck.
All right.
Love Kate. Performing live, and we might have to delve into Rob Pattinson, the rapper, perhaps, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes. Well, so, you can do that, or you can not do that.
Okay, I think that's good advice. Stick around. How about Cat Corbin coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the Temper Trap, one of the bands that's going to be playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast June 5th, their song Sweet Disposition. Also got some Stain coming up, Weezer, Offspring, Damian Jr., Gong, Marley, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.